You're on.
Call the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, June 19th to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on my left on the wall. Attendance by observation, Jergens, Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. First up, the consent agenda. The general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held June 5th, 2019. Approve all claims through June 19th, 2019 in the amount of $2,683,188.73. Accept claim number 1906011118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $781 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of May 2019. Approve utility permit number 1128 to Blue Valley Telecom. They'll be boring 5 foot below the bottom of the ditch and East State Line Road for 66 feet to run fiber optic cable encased in 1 1/4 inch HDPE interduct to provide service for 57628 51st Road, located in the southwest corner, section 33, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township.
Now that should be for 66 foot to run fiber optic, right?
Did it fun?
Could be, Denny.
Did I read run or fun?
Run.
No, you read fun. But it is run.
I think it might be run.
Devil is in the details, guys.
Pay attention today. You guys are paying attention.
I'd ask for a motion and a second.
To approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Byers. Any discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. First up on the regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 1906011118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $781. This brings the total amount of the claims approved through June 19, 2019 to $2,683,969.73.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jergens, second by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Millions of comedians starving. Any comments on the from the public on future agenda items?
Yes, I'm in.
Mr. Lobby, please state your name and address for the record.
Certainly. Good morning. I'm Gregory C. Lobby, 312 North 10th Street, Wymore, Nebraska. I attended your last public board meeting without hearing any discussion on the reduction in county spending. I did hear a discussion about a 2% or more salary increase for those county employees not already given raises, and the purchase of a new van for the sheriff, and the remodel of the sheriff's office without any details or cost estimate, the purchase and the installation of more courthouse cameras, and perhaps body cameras, insurance costs from the same carrier that had denied coverage on claims submitted, a canopy removal without project cost or purpose unknown, the bids for the remodel and another transfer of $50,000 to the sheriff's budget seem to be on today's agenda, together with more spending proposals. Given the nearly 2% reduction in the assessed value of a taxable property in the county when the county is at its maximum levy rate, without a reduction of spending, the amount available for the federal judgment payment will be reduced, which means a longer duration and more taxes for those remaining in the county over the period of payment for the judgment. And now Beatrice has increased its sales tax, and the mayor announced the city will need to pass a bond. The Beatrice School Board has authorized salary increases totaling over $630,000 rather than lower their lid. And the board has already endorsed LB 472 to impose a countywide sales tax on all taxable sales. Gage County farmers are facing depressed market prices and have been for a couple of years or longer. And they now see cattle and soybean prices collapsing even more due to China's retaliation to President Trump's tariffs. The highest county property taxes in the state are here in this county. Bills stalled in the legislature that would have reformed property taxes. Weather damages this spring caused almost immeasurable harm, and they still continue to impact farmers negatively. As one farmer said, these are good planters, but they can't plant in mud. Perhaps it's not clear who is required to pay the county bills. SRET 2 prepared our analysis of the breakdown of taxable property in the county, and I have copies for each of you if you wouldn't mind passing them around. We note that 74% of the assessed value of taxable property in this county is rural property. 61% is classified as agricultural property. By our estimate, less than 2% of commercial and industrial property is outside city boundaries, which means 10 to 12% of non-income producing residential property makes up the remainder of the rural property. According to the Farm Service Agency, Gage County lost 10% of its farm operators in just 2 years between 2016 and 2018. As representatives of the county residents, you might alert the schools and the cities to the hardship ahead for rural and city businesses. And we would certainly hope that you would set an example when it comes to county budget reductions. I believe it's also time to support obtaining funds from the state treasury, the United States Treasury, and the funds that you control. This is not a local matter in any respect. The state of Nebraska arrested, convicted, and imprisoned all six known as the Beatrice Six in violation of their United States constitutional rights. The judgment will cost the other 92 counties in this state and the cities and the school districts far more for an increased insurance coverage over the years than it would for the state to make a significant payment towards the judgment. But I don't think you can expect the insurance carrier to make that case. I would ask that you place budget adjustments and judgment funding on the agenda of your next regular meeting so that perhaps some meaningful progress can be made towards sparing Gage County taxpayers even more obligations than they already endure before more farms and businesses and residents depart. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lobby. Anyone else for public comment or request for future agenda items? We'll move on to buildings and ground and winter light report.
Dave. Mr. Dave Jones, my boss, who runs the courthouse.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning. Today at 9:30 will be bid openings for the Sheriff's Office remodel. This would be a project to turn the West Garage into a handicapped accessible office space to get some people out of the old Sheriff's building. So that will happen at 9:30. I know of one bid coming in, so I hope we have more, but I do know of one coming in. An update on the detention center roof. We had a couple of additions. They were adding tapered insulation to the northwest corner of the roof to let better water drainage off of the roof. There was some standing water, and to remove the existing EPDM roof. That is required by the city building inspection codes. So the roof bid was $65,565. It increased to $75,173. This new bid has been approved by Bill Hilton from NERMA, so it is still all covered by our insurance from hail damage that we received from last year. Cameras were installed at the Highway Department and Veterans Office yesterday. They got those installed. And I would like to, with this year's budget, perhaps put a few out in the parking areas at the Extension Office for just better security. I know at the Highway Department they talked about there's never anything major, but they do have a lot of minor incidences of people coming in. They've had gas stolen, anything with copper, maybe not here recently, but you know, in the past they've had some copper stolen and things like that. So, last but not least is our new phone system. It seems to be working good. We did have a brief phone outage last Wednesday. I was happy the way they handled it. There's a card that went out somewhere. I called. There's a high priority number. In the past, we would call and they'd put you on hold and they would usually transfer you to somebody else. And then they would send email after email. And it just seemed like it took a long time. This was something that I called. They transferred me to someone immediately. And within about 15 or 20 minutes, I believe, they found a bad card in their system. And so they replaced it. And that's another nice thing is we used to have our phone system here. Now it is off site. So if there is a problem, they deal with it right there. In the past, I would have to call AmeriCom. They would come down from Lincoln and do whatever. So unfortunately, we had a brief outage, but I felt like I went really smooth. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Anything else for Dave?
Building and grounds? Equalization. Finance and insurance.
Mr. Chairman, the large ticket items are Beatrice Public Library, funding request $11,500, City of Beatrice quarterly EMS services $45,000, City of Wymore quarterly EMS services $10,000, Eeks Office Solutions, office equipment, supplies, etc., $14,512.97, Gage County fund transfers to the road and jail. This is a transfer. $1,356,176.11. Gage County MAPS, community-based juvenile justice grant, $13,722.04. G-Works GSI assessor, $12,754.50. Software Unlimited Corporation, attorney mandated software, $12,857.50. Washington County Sheriff, inmate and boarding prisoners, $14,244.27. Road Department, Ace Irrigation Culvert, $69,428.69. Beatrice Sand and Gravel Rock, $40,017.43. Metal Culverts Incorporated, Culverts, $166,337.15. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $25,950.96. Top Coat Incorporated for the armor coating we had finished up here a month ago or so, $442,476.14.
And that $1,356,176.11. Those are budgeted transfers that are planned for. So there will be up for discussion later today a transfer request to the jail for another $50,000 to keep their budget going. And moving forward in the next month or so, we'll start having budget discussions for next year's budget. Anything else for finance? It's 9 o'clock, and I would invite Mr. Phil to come up. And it's that time of month to honor a local veteran, so...
Good morning. For our honored veteran this month, I'd like to introduce James B. Kinsley. He was a sergeant with the infantry in the United States Army, and he served from September 18, 1946 to March 1, 1948. He received the World War II Victory Medal and the Army Occupation Medal of Japan. At this time, I'd like to introduce James Kinsley.
I've known Jim Nisley for years and years and years, and so learn how to pronounce his name.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's quite an honor. It was a very learning experience to be in the Army, and especially in Korea. The people there are so different at that time from what you see today. They were subversive, very much like slaves in a lot of cases. But fortunately, we got through it, and we got out of there before the real trouble started. Thank you again, gentlemen.
Well, Jim has been a wonderful member of our community for years and years, and not only as a veteran, but as a member of Beatrice and Gage County. Thank you, Jim.
Snitching.
Just one moment. We have,
Jim,
we have something for you, Jim.
Oh. Mr. Nisley, on behalf of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, I'd like to give you these small tokens of our appreciation.
Thank you
very much, sir.
Thank you, Phil. It's always good to see. This is always fun to see who you bring to us. Human Resources and Employee Relations.
I don't have anything.
Law Enforcement and Emergency Management.
Unless I'm missing something, I think everything's on the agenda, pretty much.
Road and Bridge. Mr. Juergens.
Mr. Hill.
We're going to have a bid opening for 42.6 miles of highway striping. Most of this is, maybe all of it, is over the recently completed armor coating. We had some pictures from Apple Road and discussion on that. We had discussion on Sergeant Road as well with pictures. And I asked for discussion in 2 weeks on heat and frost limits on our asphalt roads.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Galen on Apple Road, concerning Apple Road, Galen had taken some pictures and had looked at the issue, so you want to report on that now, Galen, or?
After discussion on Monday's Road and Bridge, Eric had gave me a copy of the pictures and also the email that was sent to him. So as in all complaints, I go out and check them out all. And the complaint did cover approximately 1 mile of a county gravel road coming off of, I call the Firth link asphalt going into Firth and going east on Apple Road to the corner of 96 Road. And the rest of it in the email was a letter also in there that talked about a maintainer cutting the shoulder down to a gate going into the pasture. And so I did go up to look at it to see where it did take place. The pictures are pertaining to a township gravel road, not the county gravel road on that. The mile that he was talking about, some washboards and stuff like that over the last 15 years or whatever he did mention, that was a county gravel road on Apple Road. So, but I just wanted to relay back that all the pictures that was in the email did not concern a county road. It was a township road.
Is there anything we do when there's a township road like that if there's an issue?
Well, basically, by looking at them pictures, and when I went up there and looked, where he did pull up what he did, the ditch was actually higher or about the same height as the top of the road. So I presume that during all these heavy rains, it probably cut a ditch along the side of the road on the shoulder, and he actually stuck his blade out maybe 3-4 feet because it was, from what I seen, was probably 90% gravel, and he pulled that gravel up and put it back on his road. When he done that, he did cut in front of that pasture driveway approximately 10 inches or 8, whatever it said in the thing. So normally if, because we pull shoulders also, but normally we, all our guys try to go back and smooth it back so it's not just a straight up and down drop off. So this pasture fence or gate didn't look like it had been used for quite a while. So I don't know if eventually he'll go back and do some ditch work in there because I haven't spoken with the township person. So.
Oh. I thought that pin was out. Anything else for Road and Bridge? Thanks for looking at that. Yep. We have a timed event at 9:15. We'll skip over that. Approve or disapprove resolution on changes to the fire district boundaries of the Barnston Rural Fire District.
You want to take that up probably after the hearing?
But is I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, I guess we can go. We'll skip a few down then. Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for the Gage County Fairgrounds Speedway and Beer Garden. Headway for Gage County Fair, July 24th through 27th, 2019.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Bauman. We do have the paperwork from the Gage County Sheriff with no objection to that. Does anyone want to speak on that or any additional discussion on that? Steve, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, I'm not 100%. Don, you're going to have to answer this question for me. Did Lisa talk to you about an extra day on that?
Yes, so I included Wednesday.
So originally we weren't going to do it on Wednesday, but just use the beer garden as a backup in case entertainment was canceled because of rain.
Yeah, my motion is for them 24th through 27th, which would be Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Otherwise, everything stays the same, yes.
Could you identify yourself, sir?
Pardon me?
Could you identify yourself?
Yeah, I'm Steve Whitler. I'm president of Gage County Ag Society.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Basically, it would be the same as every year.
Just the same pretty much as every year, yes. Yep.
Any additional discussion? I'll ask for you to vote. Seven in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Steve. Courtney, how long is your presentation for us?
No, hopefully it'll be most of the morning, Courtney. Come on.
Well, I'll introduce Courtney Schleich, then Tourism Coordinator, to present the Tourism Quarterly Report.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Okay, so I've had a lot of big projects here these last few months. We'll start with the Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council. I've been working with their rebranding committee and coming up with a new logo that we have decided on and will reveal here in the next few months. Also on their visitor guide committee, where we are reaching out to all the counties in Southeast Nebraska and gathering content to create that guide here for this year. I do a Quibi tourism report. I have been working with Jeremy Vance on updating our website for visitbeatrice.com, which I also go on weekly to update local events as well as content on that website. I have been helping, or I did help Kay McKenzie with the Quilters, the musical that took place in May and early June at Classics, preparing itineraries for different organizations that plan to visit Gage County, such as the Nebraska Singles in Agriculture, who will be visiting in October. I've been meeting with them weekly to get their itinerary planned. I've been working with Homestead Days, several meetings and prepping for that, especially right now with it being the week of Homestead Days. Let's see. I attend government affairs meetings every Friday. I assisted with the Beatrice Daily Sun in creating their visitor savings brochure. I attended the Friends of Homestead's donor reception. I participate in the Nebraska Tourism webinars that occur around monthly. I've been working with Homestead National Monument of America with sponsoring an ABA Marketplace 2020, which is the American Bus Association. That will take place in January next year. We have decided to partner with Visit Omaha in their booth, and Lincoln CVB will be there as well as other CVBs around Nebraska, in our hopes to create itineraries for these bus companies that come, thinking that maybe they'll attend Omaha, come down to Lincoln, then come down to Gage County. So we have been working really hard with creating that sponsorship. I set up a Gage County Tourism booth at the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference, as well as attended that conference. I've been meeting with some people around the community, discussing future events as well as changes in attractions. Some of these include Denise Paul with Tall Tree Tastings, as well as Lorraine Ridesell. We discussed the Barnston Schoolhouse. I attended the SEC Student of the Year's Awards and presented the awards. We started working on our holiday lighted parade. We've been having meetings and we've been preparing for that, and actually I've gotten a really good start there. I did a presentation at the Kiwanis meeting for Gage County Tourism. I prepared for the Gage County Tourism Awards, which took place during Tourism Week in May. Let's see. So we did that on a Wednesday night, and I feel like that was a very big success, and people really enjoyed their time there. I attended the brochure swap, which was May 14th and 15th. I went for Gage County Tourism, along with Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council and the Heritage Highway. While I was there, I attended NEDA meetings, as well as Nebraska Tourism Commission meetings. I've attended ribbon cuttings for some of our new businesses here in town, which include Donna Jean's Boutique and Patina, created advertisements for the Beatrice Daily Sun, as well as been working with Quibi to promote community celebrations around Gage County. So you might be hearing those on the radio. I've been going around Beatrice and local attractions and updating our brochures, as well as getting the saving coupons booklet out and about to all of our visitors. I had a meeting with the Beatrice Bakery and seeing if they would like to participate in helping expand our holiday lighted parade. I've delivered Centec boxes around. Have gone to Heritage Highway meetings where we are doing our byway bingo. That's been a very large project for me these last few months as I've created, printed, and distributed all the booklets around Gage County and along byway 136. We had 9 businesses in Beatrice that participated in that, so I'm hoping that will bring in a lot of visitors because there was 25 people total that participated there. And let's see, I've attended Friends of Homestead meetings, and I am working with Jan Morris with the Johnson Cabin Museum on creating a Weimar and Blue Springs tour itinerary to get more visitors in that way to visit some of our museums in southern Gage County. So those are kind of the big projects I've been working on these last few months. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Sounds like you've been very busy.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you, and yeah. I guess we'll ask you to keep it up, keep bringing people in.
Thanks.
Well, and I think something we forget sometimes are the amount of dollars that are brought into Gage County and Beatrice by tourism. and the amount of people that come to visit and come to these events, it's a huge millions of dollars, and thank you very much. I think we forget too often. We just talk about how much we spend and not what we receive from it. Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
Courtney, how long have you been in this role now?
I started in November. A little over 6 months now.
Starting to settle in well now, then.
Yeah. Getting the hang of things now and definitely getting more involved in the community and meeting more people. So it's been enjoyable.
Wonderful. Thank you much.
Thanks.
Move to place report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers. To place the report on file. Vote. 7 in favor. We have a timed event at 9:15. Open a public hearing to hear support and or opposition from the public on changes to the fire district boundaries of the Barnston Rural Fire District to include territory within the incorporated limits of the village of Barnston, Gage County, Nebraska, also known as in the records of Gage County, Nebraska, as Tax District 145, Tax District 171, and Tax District 172. Tax District 177, Tax District 178, and Tax District 179 in Gage County, Nebraska.
I move we go into public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn to go into public hearing. Vote at 9:17 on the clock.
Was that Hill? Wasn't that second?
Yes.
Okay. Moved by Byers, second by Hill. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Still trying to say tax district. Is there...
is Mike here to talk on that? Or?
Yeah.
I think so. Do we have anyone... Again. Is there anyone else?
Do you have a sign-in sheet for the hearing, Don?
That's what I was just going to ask, too. In case there is anyone else that wants to speak, there's a sign-in sheet just starting. Please state your name.
My name is Michael Willett. I'm an attorney with Willett and Carruthers here in Beatrice. And our office represents, in this matter, actually both the village of Barnston and the Barnston Rural Fire Protection District.
Mr. Willett, can I ask you to raise your right hand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you swear to tell the truth?
I do. What you have before you is a situation which we've addressed for the same rural fire district before with the village of Liberty. And what we had going on there is what we have going on here. None of the tax districts that are inside the corporate limits of the village of Barnston are being taxed for fire protection services. So we took care of that when we got Liberty's districts in the Barnston Rural District. Now in that whole Rural Fire Protection District, the only tax districts that aren't paying tax for fire protection are these six that we're asking to be the boundary of the rural district to be changed to include these. This actually was promulgated by the village of Barnston, because they were trying to have discussions with the rural board about what was a fair payment to be made and how they were going to resolve this so that people in Barnston were paying something. And finally the light came on and they said, you know, if they're just inside the district, then they're going to pay the same levy fire protection that everybody else pays. So that's really all we're asking to do, is if we bring the village of Barnston's tax districts inside the boundaries of the rural fire district, when the rural fire district levies its tax for fire protection, everybody in town is going to pay what everybody else in the district is paying. So that's what we're asking the board to do.
Seems to make sense.
Any other questions?
Basically, you know, I talked to Mr. Willett, and this is one of those things that, you know, basically, I don't want to say a correction, but it's something that probably should have been done a long time ago. He was contacted and got this drawn up. So, again, we've done it before. He's followed the same plan. So, again, I see no problem from the county attorney's office standpoint, and appreciate his work on it.
Thank you, Roger. Any other questions that I could answer? I will. And I want to make one comment. When I came here a long time ago and started this, I thought this pole was kind of a pain. And after 38 years, it's kind of nice to be able to lean again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. No one else has signed up. Anyone from the board have anything to say on this? Ask for a motion to close public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lyle, second by Bauman to close public hearing at 9:21 on the clock. Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Next up, I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the resolution on changes to the fire district boundaries of the Barnston Rural Fire District to include territory within the incorporated limits of the village of Barnston, Nebraska. Inclusion to be included within Barnston Rural Fire Protection District shall become effective on July 1st, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
19-08.
Was that you, Gary, on the second?
Gary.
Dorn. Moved by Hill, second by Dorn. Resolution 19-08. Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We have 8 minutes before another timed event. Okay. That one may take longer. Maybe ask is Christina here?
Christina, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
She's right back there.
This will be a motion to approve or disapprove juvenile services, the state grant award, and have the chairman sign it.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Christine, could you state your name for us?
Christina Lyons, Director of Gage County MAPS Community Coalition and Juvenile Diversion. Well, Gage County Adult and Juvenile Diversion Services. And I write this grant every year, and about this time every year we come and just ask that you sign and approve that we accept it. You can see on the page where it says program type table what I had written for and was granted. The total amount is $68,439 of the requested amount. The match share is $7,604. The match comes from money we already spend in Gage County Juvenile Court. Could be sheriff's transporting fees. I think actually I put in there guardian ad litem and other appointed attorney fees. So it's money that we already spend in Gage County. We don't have to put money towards this. But the money that I did request was for diversion for the coalition. We continue to work with the schools and with our family advocate on truancy. We do alternative to detention services with the tracker and with probation. And restorative justice has $2,500 in there. Something new that we're just kind of working on. Had a couple. It's working with the resolution center on things before they get to court, usually. So that totals it out. Any questions?
Anyone that hasn't had an opportunity to work with these individuals and with the individuals they're working with, the juveniles, take an opportunity to do that. Contact our director, and she will make it possible. I've done it, and it is wonderful what all you're doing with our kids.
Thank you.
I certainly recommend that you approve this. Christina does a great job coordinating a lot of different programs here in our county, including the schools, and I truly appreciate all the work she does. And a lot of that is filling out these wonderful little grant applications so that we can get some of that money back into our county and working with our kids. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. We have a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7 in favor, the motion carries. A few minutes yet. I ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the Gage County Tourism Agreement.
Approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Is there anything?
Well, Angie's getting, if she's coming up, I would just, again, this is very similar to what we've had in the past years. It's a good relationship with the chamber, and I think a very good expenditure of the taxpayers' money, particularly it's collected from outside our district a lot of times. So, again, from a legal standpoint, there's no problem at all with the contract. They do a good job, so I'll throw that personal aspect in there, and I think you guys know as well as I do that they do a great job.
Are there any changes?
Other than the date.
I don't have a copy.
Any additional discussion on the tourism agreement? Vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
Eric,
I don't know.
Did you miss the grant fund above that?
Okay. We have a few minutes. I didn't miss it, but I didn't know if there would be more discussion on that. I guess we could start still on that one. Ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the Visitor Improvement Fund grant in the amount of $19,000 submitted by Johnson Cabin Museum.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Hill. Courtney?
All right. So the Johnson Cabin Museum, which is in Blue Springs, has had some water damage over the past few years. So the concrete's kind of breaking up. The bottom logs in the log cabin are kind of deteriorating. So they've reached out to a log cabin specialist and actually some other people as well, and they've all suggested that long-term plan, it would be best to physically pick the cabin up and move it over 20 feet to get it out of the area that's kind of causing the flooding. So to do this, it's about $38,000. They've asked for 50% of that, which is $19,000. And they've shown us what some of that, what the budget would be. So it'd be $14,000 to move the cabin with the chimney, and then $3,800 for the concrete footings and $3,900 for new sidewalks as well as handicap access to the front door. So those were kind of the objects that we thought would benefit tourism and help preserve the cabin that we thought would be a good thing to help contribute to that.
Courtney, how was the discussion on the committee about this?
Overall, really well. We feel like it's a great project that we'd like to fund. We would like to make sure, because especially with the flooding this last year, they noticed that it's something they would need to do this year. Otherwise, they may see some more deterioration. And it is on the National Register of Historical Places, so we would like to keep that on there as well. Just going through what they budgeted, the three things that I had mentioned were kind of the ones that we would like to contribute that fund for. We felt that those would be the best benefit to tourism.
Any additional discussion on this? That's what these dollars are for, is to finance projects that do bring outside people into our area, as well as give people in our area something to go take a look at as well.
Yes, and I know that they're working really hard to create itineraries to get more visitors to the cabin, so I think that will help us in the long run, too.
All right, with no additional discussion, we have a motion by Bauman, a second by Hill. I'd ask for a vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Nine 30 on the clock. We have a timed event. Ask for a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for the Sheriff Office Remodel Project.
Make a motion to close all bids. 9:30.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens to close bidding at 9:30 on the clock. Vote. 7 in favor.
I've got one, but don't let Brian see it. That looks dangerous. All right, so it looks like we got two bids. First one that I opened is not for this. This is for the highway striping. So it appears that we have one bid.
You want to return that to Don?
Just put on what they have.
Yeah, it just says county. It says county bid. All right, so. Bid is from Lammel Plumbing Incorporated to do the demolition. Well, let's hold on a second. If I'm reading this properly, the bid is from Arrow Architecture, 330 South 10th in Lincoln, Nebraska, with several subcontractors listed. The base bid would be $232,314. $232,314.
Mr.
Am I reading that correct, Todd, or is that?
The general contractor would be Lammel Plumbing.
Okay.
West Arrow Architecture was submitted to us for the bid form.
Okay. Yeah, I do see the back page. It says name of contractor. Yep. Okay. Thanks, Todd. So Lammel Plumbing would be your contractor with several subs. And that's the only bid.
And that's it.
There is some. There is a price for alternates. Todd, if I'm making any misrepresentations when I'm reading this, feel free to speak up and correct me. Okay? Yes, that would be good.
Todd Heidel with Lammel Plumbing Incorporated. At the end, on the last page, there is a few notes. There was an alternate number one that had to do some concrete work out front. I'm calling that just a cost estimate because I think the plan just showed a highlighted section. It makes me a little nervous because there is stormwater issues there. the thickness of concrete. Nothing was spelled out on that. So I just threw a number in on alternate, and then there was a note saying, hey, listen, more information would have to be attained before you'd go forward with that, because there's going to be more to that. You'd probably have to get a civil engineer to go further with that. Then on the base bid, there was a few things that weren't in the plans. I had no alarm system figured, so any of the existing alarm system tie-ins will have to be done by others. No key fob system. There again, that's your own system that would have to be done by others. They had a note on there about detention locks. I don't see there's any detention locks in this area, but the architect had that on the prints, so I didn't include anything. No dust or furniture, or no cabinets or whiteboards. There again, he had them in the prints, but they didn't show up anywhere, so I just took them out. The fire marshal review and accessibility study has not been done yet. So I said that to be done by the others. Usually the architect will submit that. Just know that the fire marshal could look at the prints and be changes. I've had several run-ins with the fire marshal as of late on some of my own projects, and, you know, they're pretty thorough on stuff. So just know that there could be, once they look at the plans, there could be additional modifications. So any other questions?
Yeah, so we really aren't getting a total bid for all of the things that need to be done here.
Well, the base bid for what the prints were submitted, that should cover everything inside the building, the demolition, the new framing, drywall, carpet, everything inside. There was an alternate on that, except on the concrete work out front, but it was, like I said, it was just a highlighted on the front page of the plans. That's all it was. It really didn't spell any specifications on that. An alarm system and key fob system, I was talking, Dave would probably have more information on that part of it, except it just didn't spell it out on the prints at all. This is kind of unusual. Instead of having a fully set of engineered set of plans, this is more of a design build where you had a basic set of plans, and then you go to subcontractors and say, that way you don't have all the engineering involved like that. You save a few bucks by not having that. So we went with all local contractors that know the facility very well, so I feel really comfortable about that. But like I said, with alarm and key fob, that's not my area. It didn't spell out in the specifications anything about that part of it. So,
Denny, Dave can probably elaborate on that more too, but as far as the locks, the alarm, all that stuff he had planned on doing with his normal alarm people anyway, so everything integrates together well.
Right. With our alarm system and everything, since we already have a diode system over there, we would just have to get a bid from them separately so they could tie into it. Same way with the fire alarm system. And in Cartel, the phone system for the visitation, they had talked to the sheriff, and there would be no cost for them to take that from the front to the side panel. So that wasn't included in the bid either. As far as the concrete, that was always just an option. I think the city was more comfortable. They did approve if we just left the concrete as is in that area, there would not be any changes as far as going in or out. If we did come in from a different direction, I think we would have to have the city's approval and maybe some changes, and that's what Todd had brought up too about the water and things like that. There would be some grading issues.
There were several options given, and I think it came back to they were going to leave things the way they were and change the way the parking is, if I remember right. I think you were in on some of those talks, Gary, as far as the parking.
We discussed that in subcommittee, and I think that was kind of where everybody led to anyway.
For now, at least, to see if things would work, so there wouldn't, it would save some expense, and there wouldn't be any additional egress onto the street that way. Dave, what was your budget for this, or what was your anticipated budget?
All I can say for sure, I mean, this goes back a year ago when we started this discussion. We came up with a very informal bid. I just went to the local people. And Prairie Homes at that time did give a bid for the interior work. It came around $140,000 for just, and that the only bid that were probably an accurate bid would have been like the HVAC, doors, windows, things like that. The roof at that time The bump up was not included. The gypcrete was not included. Fire dampers, the firewalls, things like that. So that was just kind of a curiosity thing to just see how, you know, what we would start at.
Did the architect give a rough estimate, though?
No.
I thought we got a rough estimate from the architect.
No. That's where this has been very much a design build. If we would have had more bids, I'm sure people would have had maybe different ideas on how to do it. So I guess it's good in a way, but in another way, it's kind of confusing. It's like a print, and you can kind of interpret how you think it would be best.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a design build because the architect did have, like on the door schedules, he had everything spelled out to the T, and then on other things, it was really vague on some other things. And so I do know there is a little bit. I know the canopy was pretty pricey, and so there is a little bit of area that I think we could come back and cut out and maybe do things differently in a couple of areas. But to keep apples to apples, I did as close as I could off the print that was given to me. So
that's where I'd had the lock for a jail cell lock, actually, and that was when we were discussing having the attorney inmate coming down, and that had been changed, but that information was probably still as far as that lock on the jail.
I know all my subs, when they got back to me, did say there was alternates that they could put in to save a little bit of money on everybody's end, so we could go back and look at those alternates. So,
how do we come up with this architect, Dave? Was that recommended by Nebraska sheriffs? Or?
No. We had Mike Fakler earlier, and he, I guess I could say, kind of dropped the ball. He started the project, and then he got busy, and so he just asked if we could find somebody else. So we did come up with Richard Burton. I mean, he's good to work with. It's been kind of vague, I would say, though, but he's come down here several times. And
this is a guy I'd worked with in the past, too, before Denny. But we still kind of it was tough to get things motivated and moving, it seems like. Gary, would you like to refer this to Dave and have him review it and then come back with a recommendation?
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah.
I mean, just so you can go over the numbers and stuff. I think, like with gravel bids and stuff, I don't know, do we need that this meeting yet? Or is that something you could bring back and
approval? Need some time. That's where what Todd said about, you know, maybe the canopy and things like that. If they had one spec'd out, that was a very expensive canopy.
Well, and usually when we accept bids, say on gravel or rock or things like that, that gives some time to review everything, just go over things, and then we accept them at the next meeting.
Yeah, and one thing I do caution you, I would be curious to see what the fire marshal says too going forward. We have a new fire marshal for the state. Things have been very thorough, so there may be. And the last time I knew, I submitted a plan. It was 3 to 4 weeks to get a review done on that also. So that would be one thing going forward. I'd definitely, before you want to even start thinking about demo, you want to have that review back in hand and see what they say to make sure they give it their blessing.
Dave, well, I would move that we table awarding a bid for this project for at least 2 weeks.
Do you want to table it or just refer it to Dave for review and then we'll bring it back in 2 weeks?
I'll refer it to Dave for review.
Do we need a motion and a second on that?
Second.
Moved by Byer, second by Lytle, to give Dave a couple weeks to review this. Any discussion? Vote? In favor. Thank you, Todd. We have another timed event at 9:45. We ask for a motion to close bids for the highway striping project for approximately 42.6 miles of highway striping.
I'll make a motion to close bids at 9:45.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Dorn. Discussion? Vote. 7 in favor to close bids at 9:45 on the clock.
Do you guys have a letter?
No.
Yeah. Gail, you got something?
One of them's open.
For the 42.6 miles of highway striping, the bidder's name is Burmeister Incorporated from Clay Center, Nebraska. Option number one, edge striping only, both sides per mile bid, $850 for a total of $36,210. Option two, center line and no passing stripes only, contract to determine no passing zones per mile price, $425 for a total of $18,105. Option three, edge striping both centers, both sides, center line and no trespassing stripes, contract to determine no passing zones per mile price, $1,220 for a total of $51,972. The second bidder and final bidder, Straight Line Striping Incorporated from Grand Island, Nebraska. Edge striping only, both sides per mile bid price $709 for a total of $30,203.40. Center line and no passing stripes only, contract to determine no passing zones per mile bid $335 for a total of $15,123. And option three, edge striping both sides, center line and no passing stripes, contract to determine no passing zones per mile price $1,064 for a total of $45,326.40. As we've done in the past, I would like to refer both of these to Galen and Becky and have them refer them and come back with a recommendation before the meeting's over.
Would you let Gary and Mr. Willett know we're going to be discussing the canine now? Maybe before Mr. Willett leaves yet. At the last board meeting, the board decided to sell our current canine to Deputy Babency for $250 after discussion. This is being brought back up. We talked to some donors. One of the things we wanted to do is thank the donors. We hadn't had a list of what was given and by who prior. We do have that, and that was something I did want to run through, at least some of the bigger donors.
I just want to make a note that I was not here for the June 5th meeting, so I have not taken any part in this discussion or any vote.
Mr. Byers and Mr. Bellman at that time were gone. Since then, we've talked to the trainer, and like I say, as we talked about this, it was a canine. We talked about it as a piece of property, not to diminish a pet or the importance of a canine partner, but just strictly in the eyes of the law, as we talk about how we get rid of property, the canine is seen as personal property in the eyes of the law. That's not to try to diminish his importance by any means. But I did want to just read through a couple of the larger donors, because there was a lot of money given by the public. We have a total on the record that I have here of $46,000, $46,028 actually, given by different groups. Some of the larger ones, the Gage County Foundation, Inc., which is Lee and Marilyn Coffin, gave $10,000. The Thomas Foundation gave $20,000. Toro Company gave $2,000. Adams Sportsman Club gave $1,000. Norse Power Goodwill Fund gave $1,500. Friends of the Homestead National Monument of America gave $1,000. Beatrice Sertoma gave $1,000. The Sandman Family Foundation gave $2,500. And there are many others in just smaller increments that did provide funding for this program. I believe, and we don't have actual numbers, but I believe almost half of the program was funded privately. So that's also additional information that we didn't have prior that we do want to thank the community, as well as all the other donors for their support of this program. What's up on the agenda specifically is a motion to approve or disapprove rescinding the board action taken on June 5th, 2019 regarding the drug dog. And I suppose for discussion purpose, we should have an actual motion.
I'd make a motion to approve rescinding the board action.
I'll second that.
A motion by Bauman, a second by Hill. Along with this additional discussion, Mr. Hill, do you want to? We hadn't talked to the trainer. We hadn't talked to a lot of the different people. And I guess just a real rough overview. What we were presented was Officer Babency is going to be taking another job. The canine has been with him for basically a year and a half. And there was a fear that something would happen to the dog if he was away from his trainer. He would waste away, die. He couldn't be used by another handler. The dog had attachment issues. Or I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but was very tightly connected to that trainer, that handler, so he couldn't be used by another handler. And we had to make a decision quickly so the dog wouldn't be kenneled. For those of you who are here, is that a decent overview of discussion for that day? And the value was, there was no value on the dog.
I would say, see if you have some public comment. I think people have been very involved in this, and I think you should have an opportunity to hear people.
We definitely will. I was just trying to give a real rough overview of what we talked about. I think that was about it. The dog couldn't be used by anyone else, so the value was basically gone. I know John talked to the handler, or the trainer of the canine of Buster.
Yes, I did talk to the trainer after you gave me his number yesterday, and hopefully I got most of this right. But the trainer, the trained dog was sold to the county for $9,500 or $10,000, something like that. But the trainer told me almost all dogs are able to be trained to a new handler. He said they don't like to be kenneled. They want to do what they're trained to do. So if you put them in a kennel to just be kenneled, why, you know, they're not happy. They want to do what they are trained to do. He said it's pretty slim that it wouldn't be able to be retrained. He thought Buster's value was still $3,000 or $4,000 to go to law enforcement, and he recommended be sold to law enforcement. And I would say active law enforcement where it could be used.
And Mr. Bellman?
Well, this is the sheriff's program. It's the sheriff's operation thing. I think the sheriff should be involved in this discussion. We were asked to make a decision based on information that we had, which subsequently different and new information came out, and possibly some procedural issues. The sheriff needs to be here. He's not available at this point. I think he needs to be part of the discussion.
Probably should.
The sheriff's program. It's not the county board's program.
Gary?
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess I'm a little bit confused as to why the trainer told the sheriff that the dog had no value. He wouldn't be interested in the dog, and there was no value. And then he tells John that it's worth $3,000 to $4,000.
The owner or the trainer? You mean the handler or the trainer?
Trainer
was. I had John ask him that too. And if I'm correct, the trainer was never contacted by Colton or the sheriff until yesterday. Then Colton had contacted the trainer prior to John calling. So there's, if I understand right, there was never any contact made between the sheriff, the handler, or the county until yesterday. Is that correct, John?
You know, I think so. I'm not sure if either Gus or Colton had contact with the trainer. I mean, I think they were giving us their feelings, the same as an individual. And I will say I had a nice voicemail from a lady that's very concerned about animal welfare, and she says we should leave it like it is. But, you know, when you talk to the trainer, who is a professional at this, I mean, that looks different. And the dog may be happier doing what he was trained for.
I also had, just to go along with what you said, because that's what we were told, we went back through minutes, and we were told that the trainer, the one that we purchased the dog from, didn't want the dog back, and there's no value. The owner, I'm sorry. So that information we were given wasn't right. And that's what got some of this conversation going, was with what we were presented, the board made a decision. There's some additional information there that's maybe not on par with what we were told originally. With that handler not ever being contacted, that kind of is not the same conversation we were having prior.
Well, there's a question if that handler is going to Washington County and he's taking the dog.
I'm speaking about the trainer specific, or the dog trainer specifically, not Deputy Bavency.
Why not?
Well, I just mean that with what I said, he's taken another position, but as far as we know, he is not acting as a canine handler in Blair.
Well, we don't know that, but there is a big question that if he's taking that dog with him, is Washington County going to put that dog to work in the same type of situation we have here at no cost? And if they are going to put that dog to work, we need to be reimbursed for dollars amount too. So that's one of the details that needs to be found out. We need to find out what's going on.
That was in discussion too, and the county attorney, in drafting an agreement, that was included in that. If it hadn't been approved, that agreement specifically.
Well, and again, Senator Barton raises a good question. And I wasn't at that Monday meeting when you guys had all these information relayed to you. My understanding that Washington County was not interested in the dog. Now, again, I'm passing on what I've been told. Those of you that were at that meeting. So I thought that issue was gone. I know Mr. Hill was concerned about that, and so I specifically in the bill of sale put in that the dog would never be used as an active drug dog. And again, part of that is, you know, how to say this without stepping. It was a concern. So, Denny, you have a legitimate question. And again, I guess looking at it, there's so many questions that have been raised now. And just so the public understands, a lot of the reason that we moved fairly quickly on this was the representations that this dog, if we, you know, delayed in action, would suffer. Okay, I guess to put it a different way, maybe. But, I mean, that's what was given to this board. And humanely, they reacted to that, moved it, put it on the agenda item, and moved along. Now, in a normal situation where we're going to, basically, and this sounds horrible, but dispose of surplus county property, we declare it, we set it out there, and if people are interested, the public can then contact, you know, the clerk or whatever and say, yeah, I'd like to, you know, bid on it. How are you going to do the disposition? We didn't do that in this case because of the representations that this dog would languish if we put him in a kennel or something. And there was other information came about after that. And again, I, as Gary indicated, I think it would do good to let's step back, find out what the heck's going on, allow our donors to come in, because they have a stake in this, not only in this program, but in future
Absolutely.
Programs.
They supported this program financially, morally, and they need to be involved. Why, you know, I'm sorry. I was out of town for other business on this, and I missed this whole thing, but I feel bad about it.
Well, and again, I think, I mean, it's not like we're dealing with a maintainer that's sitting in the yard that we, you know, throw a tarp over it if we need to protect it. I mean, this is a living animal. And I don't know, Chief Deputy's here too. I don't know where, somebody asked me the other day, I think it was one of the press, you know, where is the dog?
Yeah, and if we talk to the Humane Society relative to this, can they give us more information? We support them financially, and I know they're very interested in this type of thing, and the same way with a veterinarian or what have you. What is there really a risk for this animal? And anyway,
Terry?
I'd just like to go back a little bit. This whole thing started out with a grant. It was grant money came in. This was going to be the next best thing since sliced bread. From what I understand, the dog was used very little, maybe three cases is what we were told. From what else we were told, when the dog is boarded, it loses weight, is lost, I don't remember the pounds, 30, 40 pounds, last time was boarded for an extended period of time. These are the information we were given. Also, I want to remind everybody today, paw prints, boarding of the canine, cost the county $432 in the last pay period here. So how long that goes on, that was another concern of mine because the dog had to stay here and the expenses keep going. That's all I'm going to say.
John?
Yeah, to be clear, the trainer didn't offer to buy Buster back, but he did offer to check with some other law enforcement agencies that might be interested, that he had an idea might be interested.
Terry?
One more comment I didn't make. This dog, we were told, was high anxiety, and anxiety could not calm down, would be high, I don't know the proper term, but that's what we were told about him also.
And that is what we were told. I think the weight loss, what I remember hearing is 15 pounds, 15, 20 pounds. But we were told about this high anxiety. But in speaking with the trainer, who is the professional, he gave me the idea the dog would be happier doing what it was trained for. And I didn't get that directly from him, but that's the overall gist of it.
If the board doesn't have anything right now, as you think, I know there are some members from the public that would like to speak about this. If you all would like to come up and state your name and let us know what you're thinking, we'd appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Marilyn Coffin.
My husband Lee and I purchased this dog for the $10,000. There was an article in the paper back in 2016 that said, you know, we have this, we want to have a drug dog, and this is how it's going to help, you know, our county. It's like he's more efficient. They made it sound like, you know, this was the best thing since sliced bread. So Lee and I immediately wrote a check for this dog. And then now it's kind of like, well, are there no more drugs in this county? Is that problem gone away? Has Buster done such a good job that, you know, we don't need a drug dog anymore? And the second thing is that my concern is that there had not been enough thought put into it as to, you know, whether he could be retrained. And until, you know, I talk to an expert that says this dog cannot be retrained, then I strongly object to it being sold at Walmart prices. And, you know.
And I would agree in that I think possibly the trainer was never contacted in regards to whether it could be retrained. I mean, I think we were getting their personal opinions, just like everybody has a personal opinion about a favorite dog or cat they've had.
And I am a huge supporter of the Humane Society. Yeah. All my animals are rescue. So it's like I feel for the animal. If I could see the animal and say, oh, my gosh, he's suffering, I'd be the first one to say, let him go. But not until I see that it's a done deal and there is no other option for him. And I agree, I think, did you say that, John, that the dog is happy doing what he likes to do? And I truly believe that. And our Buster, who Buster was named after, we adopted him when he was 4. And you sure can retrain a dog. I mean, he was a, you know, half Rottweiler, half Shar Pei. And it's like, no problem training him. And dogs love to please people. You know, he I'm sure he loved to sniff out these drugs and get his treat. You know, I don't think he was being abused while he was doing his job. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you. And thank you for your donation to this program. Another part of this, and I might have stated it already, was we were presented that there was no value to the dog. For us to get rid of county property, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Counselor, we have a $2,500 threshold. Otherwise, we have to take bids on property that we're going to get. I'm sorry? A $2,500 threshold on property unless we take bids. At no value, we can get rid of the property, but at a $3,000 to $4,000 value, we would have to ask for prices to get rid of that property. Buster, again, being property in the eyes of the law, personal property. Is there anyone else here that would like to visit about our canine Buster?
Good morning. My name is Corey Moss. I live at 415 South 12th, Wymore, Nebraska. There's a term, stare decisis, that means stand by the decision. You've made a decision on this. I don't understand why you've reneged on it and gone back. The way I understood it, a decision was made to offer the dog to the handler for $250. I was told that amount was paid. I consider that was not paid.
No.
It was not
paid. The bill of sale was not signed, and the board always retains the right to rescind an action.
But you made that offer, right?
No.
You didn't make...
The board basically passed a motion to sell the dog to the handler for $250.
Right.
That was never affected.
It was not voted on?
It was voted on. I said the board authorized that.
Okay.
It was not affected.
it was not effective, but yet you voted on it. Affected.
Yes.
But you voted on it, and it passed?
Okay. Yeah, we're in agreement there.
Okay.
But
so why doesn't that stand?
Because the board, by Robert's Rules of Order, as well as their inherent authority under Nebraska law, may revisit, and that's may rescind. They can't reconsider because it's at a subsequent meeting, but they can rescind any action they took.
So why do you vote on anything then here?
Seriously?
Yeah, if you can rescind everything that's voted on, why do you vote?
The option to rescind, ma'am, is given because boards, like everyone else, sometimes don't get all the information. They make a decision. They find that that was not correct, and they need to go back and revisit that issue. So any board, has that option, and that's what we should have, too, because we make mistakes.
Okay. Number two. We had a blue heeler, Australian blue heeler, on our farm. He was a one-man dog. He listened to my husband, no one else. I took that dog to Gateway Mall in the back of the pickup because he would not get out for me. I could throw him out, he'd jump right back in. My husband would snap his fingers, that dog would jump down. That dog throughout his life would listen to no one but my husband. And there are one-man animals, one-man dogs, one-man horses. It's very difficult to retrain them when they are that devoted to one handler. And I think the dog should stay with its handler. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to come up and visit about this? Any additional discussion from the board? I would, Gary?
Yeah, so I think given the situation, Beans, the trainer has indicated to John that he believes there is a value of $3,000 to $4,000 in this dog. Whether we agree or don't agree with that evaluation, it does create an issue in the fact that somebody has said that there's value in that animal. I think that puts us in a spot where we have to consider rescinding this. Not telling anybody they need to vote to rescind or not, but to rescind this and take a second look at it. I for one am very concerned with this move because at that point, what's going to happen with the dog? Is he going to be boarded out at Paw Prince? 20 pounds doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about a 90 to 100 pound dog, 20 pounds is 20% of their weight. That is a lot. So I have big concerns about what's going to happen with this animal. I do agree that, because like I said before, I had a lab hunting dog that was a one-person dog, and she would do anything for me, but she would do zero for anybody else, kind of like what Mrs. Moss had to say. My concern is that this dog is going to deteriorate and be put in a bad spot. Can you retrain him to be receptive to another handler? It's possible. I told Eric this yesterday on the phone. My biggest concern is that we go backwards on this, and eventually it creates harm to this animal that can't be reversed. So that in mind, I understand the laws and the rules, and I think that we probably have to make this move, but I'm not a real fan of it, and I'm not excited by doing this.
And I guess, I agree. Rescinding this is not going to feel good, but I think we had a real significant lack of information 2 weeks ago, and that's unfortunate, but we did.
Well, the other thing that you're forgetting, too, is that what doesn't change is we don't have a handler at the Gage County Sheriff's Office.
We're not going to have a Gage County Sheriff's Office officer that's going to handle this animal. The only choice is going to be to put him in boarding.
There's a...
And that's not my choice that we're not having a handler. That's where we're at with the Sheriff's Office. Doug probably really can't... I mean, he's the chief deputy, but I don't know that Doug wants to speak on this. The sheriff told us this. We do not have a handler. We don't have anybody interested in it. Nobody's trained up to do it. So the only option that the sheriff has is to board the dog.
And they're probably realistically moving forward. It's not going to be a handler at Gage County in the foreseeable future. There may be some other agency that is interested, local or regional, but we don't have anything cast in stone that says that currently either. If this is rescinded, I would hope that we put some stipulation in there so that we are encouraged to do something quickly on this, so that this isn't something that just sits. Echoing what Gary said, we need to move along on this if this is rescinded, and have some direction or give some direction to the Sheriff's Department. Like Mr. Bauman said, this is a Sheriff's Department issue that becomes a Board of Supervisors issue when it gets to this point. I don't know how do we know when the sheriff will be back? Is it end of this month? If this is rescinded, I suppose we need to start reaching out to other local law enforcement, local organizations, to see if there's another route or possibility for this canine unit.
Basically, if you assume with the trainer as far as value, you basically can authorize, that this board can authorize a county official or employee to sell. We've already declared.
We put a time limit on it right away then?
You can put any kind of time limit on it. I mean, again, there was discussion last time about you doing a bid. Now, it doesn't require that you advertise three times in the newspaper like we usually do with our bids. And again, this is a very unique situation. Not everybody's going to be interested in the dog. Obviously, Ms. Coffin has told you they're interested. I'm sure there may be other law enforcement, but again, those are people like the sheriff's office. Somebody would have to contact, although the trainer indicated that he has some people in mind that might be. And again, I would suggest you start there, because those are the kind of people that are going to put a bid on it.
So, Counselor, your suggestion would be, if we rescind this, we surplus Buster and...
Well, you still have to, when you rescind that motion, part of your motion was to declare Buster surplus property. This thing doesn't start until you say Buster is surplus property. And that went back to the sheriff not having the program, not anticipating having the program because of budgetary concerns and personnel, all those issues that we talked about at the last meeting. You're going to have to go ahead and do that as a motion, so then you can authorize whomever, whether it be the sheriff or somebody, to go out there and find the most expedient way to allow people to, submit a bid if they want to, such as Ms. Kaufman, or other law enforcement agencies, so they could be utilized as an active drug dog.
Where is the animal now?
I would guess Paw Prince, I think, is Mr. Gutchison's.
No, he's not there. I'm assuming that Colton may. He's with Colton. Do you know, Doug? Because
And I got one question for Doug. Nothing's changed in the last 2 weeks as far as anybody expressing interest in becoming a handler.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's a pretty intense program. I mean, it's a lot of
fun. And Roger, when you started talking there, you said, I assume the dog is worth $3,000 or $4,000.
That's what the trainer said.
Right. Yeah. John.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Without visiting the dog or anything, as of now,
he's going on the breed, I think.
Well, he did train this dog.
Okay.
And he knows
the
dog.
But he's assuming that.
Yep.
So everybody remember that.
Right. No, and your statute. That's all I was referring to. Last time we were talking around $2,500, but the only value we were given was zero. So. your statutes broke down at 2,500 then 5,000. That's, you follow a little different protocol depending on the value. And I certainly trust John's telling me that the trainer told him it was worth 3,000 to 4,000. Okay, that puts us in paragraph two, not paragraph one. And again, in deference to the dog, you know, okay, we don't want him to languish if that's happening. And I just point out he was kenneled because Officer Bevensey was on leave. This isn't the first time this dog's been kenneled.
Nope.
So, and again, this is information that's come to light after the fact, after you people were presented. And so, I can imagine what the comments are going to be when the paper or the paper and other media put this out. I mean, it was 10-11 is going to do a backflip over this. That was top story. Man, think about it now. But I just want the public to understand that this was not something this board created. And it's unfair to blame them for it. You tried to deal with a situation that was dealt you that day, or actually Monday before the Wednesday, but at the committee meeting. But that doesn't give you a lot of
time. This whole thing has been done by the sheriff's department, and not by this board. We've tried to help, but this is a sheriff's department decision, and they're the ones who made that decision.
I know Sheriff Gus, you know, was looking out for the dog as well, because I mean it's a tough decision. And I would comment to Ms. Coffin, drug dogs and that canine are very pivotal. I mean, and sometimes you get a great dog. You know, our office has benefited from having very good dogs. Basically, confirm the officer's observation. That's what a good dog does. And has helped us with the drug problem that is facing Gage County. And it's not just Gage County. It's across the state. But they are critical. And that's the first time I heard that they probably weren't going to continue the program at the sheriff's office. That's pretty tough because, you know, we do have one with the city. That dog's utilized a lot. And I know there will be a cooperation, you know, between the sheriff and the city as far as utilization of the remaining drug dogs. So we'll get through that. But, yeah, I didn't want you to think you were sold a bill of goods on this when this program was started. It was a good program. It's unfortunate that the handler left. And it happens. Handlers get sick. They leave law enforcement.
Yes, but by the same token,
Will you come forward, please?
By the same token, I'm on the board of I'm the secretary treasurer of the board of the Gage County Historical Society, and we feel that we have a fiscal responsibility because we are dealing with other people's money. And so when we make decisions, it's all about, you know, being conservative. You know, we're cognizant of the fact that we're using other people's money. Okay. I don't see that in this decision that was made. And by the way, it was made without contacting the donors, you know, I might add. And it was just almost like I felt swept under the carpet. And all of a sudden, this dog's being sold for $250. Well, how did that happen? You know, and these are the questions that I need answered. Is that, you know, it's like, okay, has he been not used? I mean, is the program not working? Can he be retrained? How, you know, is he sick? Is he sick? I mean, I'd like to see the dog and say, and if I look at him and say he's sick, then I'd say, oh my goodness, no. I mean, I just love animals. You know, so it's not financially based. It's about being fiscally responsible with a program.
Mr. Bauman.
Ms. Coffin, we were information we were given is that donors were and/or were going to be contacted. That's what we were told, and so we found out subsequently. That was part of the information.
I found out on 10/11 News, as a matter of fact.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
But we apologize for that. That was in conversation on Monday and Wednesday, I know both, that donors were going to be talked to, and right. as well as trainer and stuff. There's some miscommunication between
right.
the presenters and the board that day.
Yeah, and I get that. But I guess I was surprised that the Board of Supervisors would be voting on this, since this program was funded, and just like Mr. Byer said, it was a Gage County Sheriff project from the beginning. You know, the article said, we're bringing back the drug program, you know, contact Gage County Sheriff, you know, for fundraising and all of that. So I was surprised that the Board of Supervisors had the power to vote to, you know, get rid of this dog when it wasn't taxpayer money. It was privately funded, you know, the training, and all the donors. Yes.
And part of it is, I think, and we don't know exact dollars. We think about half of the program is funded privately. Right. Half is still taxpayer dollars outside of those donations. And that's just a technicality. Again, it is a sheriff's department program. As far as surplusing equipment or going through those things, that falls back to the board then. So that's how the Board of Supervisors got involved.
Right.
Eric, if I remember correctly, in last year's sheriff's budget, I think there was approximately $20,000 in that line for the canine program
right.
that was spent.
Yeah.
Or in that line, anyway. I don't know
right.
if it was spent.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have had the program
yeah.
if they couldn't
I understand.
Have.
I understand.
You know, and again, as Mr. Byers had said previously, you know, these donors don't fall out of trees.
Nope.
You know.
Nope.
I mean, if they did, we'd all be rich, you know.
No, that's absolutely correct. And we had talked to both Deputy Babency and the sheriff about talking to the donors, and they were the ones presenting information to us. And that's why, I guess, after you had contacted me, I did apologize, because we did not realize that no one had been contacted until this morning. I didn't have a list of donors. We knew the ones that contacted us after the meeting, and we'd heard different donors, but other than that, we weren't aware of who had given money. So we do apologize for that.
Yeah. No, and I recognize the fact that when you give money for a program, you know, it belongs to, I mean, this dog belongs to the Gage County Sheriff's Office. I mean, I get that. They can do with it whatever they want, but I think they should use some fiscal responsibility and throw that in there too. And like I said, if the dog is really sick, I'd be the first one to say, you know, let him go.
You know,
but he's got a lot of.
I think every program needs to look at this. I've seen this situation in an organization that you're with in the past, as far as donors and the amount of money that's being spent and how.
Yes.
So I think we see that in every organization, and I have seen it.
Yeah, I know you have.
And so, anyway.
Yeah, okay, but that's...
I certainly was surprised at the lack of interest in continuing the canine program for Gage County.
But then we're not in the sheriff's office, you know,
sure.
to see what's really going on and why he's not being utilized. So,
and that information we did have was there's just no interest in continuing it.
Well, the canine program, as from a law enforcement perspective, it's very useful. From the deputy's perspective, that's a 24-hour-a-day job while you're working with that canine, though, too. So it's a big commitment for the deputy. And, I mean, that was something we talked about this deputy about before the program ever started, because it's a long-term commitment.
And that being said, and about being fiscally responsible, I mean, I'll say this, the Gage County Sheriff's Office should have had a contract with that handler.
We did have for a period of time.
You know, for the useful life of that dog, because... You know, this is devastating, you know, to the dog, too.
There's other legalities there, yeah. too, but that was talked about as well. We do have a motion by Bauman and a second by Hill. There's been to rescind the action taken June 5th, 2019 regarding Buster the Drug Dog. There's also been talk, if we do rescind this, to make surplusing Buster part of the motion. Counselor, do you want to?
I would not do that, not make it part of this motion. Again, if you declare him to be surplus, basically you're saying the program's not going to be there. And I don't know if you, that's up to you. If you want to say that based on what you were told last meeting, that's fine. I'm just saying what was input from the public today, not only here, but also through media. Maybe you want to take a look at that as well as the information to see what you want to do given it a surplus.
Mr. Brown.
I mean, you're backing one step up. I'm saying, do you back up three steps? Or you just go back one and say, we want to verify some information here.
So you're feeling we shouldn't disapprove the motion?
I've just sent it out to you. If you declare him to be surplus, you can start quicker on that avenue as far as. And again,
we're voting
we
on approving or disapproving, rescinding the board action.
That's the motion before the board right now. I'm just saying we still don't know nothing about the dog. I mean, Chief Deputy, who's in charge of the sheriff's office, he thinks the dog's with Colton. Well, why?
Can I comment?
No, yeah.
Yes, Chief.
This is obviously a very emotional topic. No, nobody's going to disagree on that. It's an unfortunate situation that we're in. If somebody quits, what do? You can't control other people. I understand that. The last I was told directly before the sheriff left by the sheriff is that somebody was going to be bringing $250 cash as a donation for Colton to buy the dog. I secured it, arranged for him to get it, and then he picked it up, and we assumed that that was the last, you know, as to where we were. So based upon that, we make that assumption, or at least I make that assumption. No, I haven't called Colton or talked to him. I mean, he's no longer employed with our agency. You know, I harbor no ill will or feelings towards him, but, you know, he doesn't have an obligation to report or answer to me either in the same respect. And we can certainly, I'm sure, probably find that information out very easily without making assumptions. And so that is what I know and to its extent.
The sheriff told you he sold the dog to Colton for $250.
He said or indicated to me that Roger was preparing a bill of sale, I believe, if that's correct, and that it was for $250, I believe, and that there was somebody that wanted to step up and donate that money or had, and so that Colton could buy that dog from the county and, you know, move on. That's what I know.
So you suggest not surplusing Buster immediately?
I'm just throwing out, you know, again.
The other information.
To me, the critical issue right now is the welfare of the dog, and everybody is sharing that. We don't have any more idea of that than we did 2 weeks ago, and that's part of what we're kind of getting burned on. I mean, when you find out the dog's been boarded anyhow, what the heck? You know, you can't create a problem and then come in and benefit from it. And I guess I'll say that, and I'll be quoted all over for that. But daggone it, you can't do that. You know, it comes down to the animal, and just like Miss Coffin, to borrow her, she wants, you know, maybe we need to see the dog. Maybe we need to have a vet check the dog out. I don't know. But I'm just throwing that out. If the board wants to go ahead and get moving on it, take action on the motion before you on rescinding. Then if you want to go ahead and basically confirm the surplus property, then you can authorize somebody, and that's up to you under paragraph 2 of that statute. It could be the sheriff. It could be, I don't know who else would be. Because there, I would envision if you're going to, first of all, the public needs to understand because we've had some people express interest in buying Buster. Okay. And it also give Colton an opportunity to buy Buster by submitting a bid. It also gives somebody like to contact other law enforcement agencies. And we talked about that afterwards. to see if there's an interest out there, if the trainer's more accurate than information we were given, that maybe the dog is has value. All those things come into play, and I think if you do anything, you might consider like a bidding process. Now, it doesn't have to be competitive bidding, but that gives the public, it gives law enforcement agencies, it gives Colton an opportunity to put money on it. Again, I guess I go back and Doug, you weren't there, but the sheriff said that he wasn't going to be able to keep this canine unit going. Is that your understanding too?
I think that's a fair statement if you take it in the context as intended. You have to have somebody 100% committed 100% of the time, and if you order somebody to do that, you're going to be the next canine guy. You know, if the commitment isn't there, then the program will fail. The other side of it is the public safety aspect of this, and that this is the only thing in regards to that that I would comment on, is that if you do make this dog surplus property in whatever language you choose to use, and you open that up for bids to the public, there would be some concern about a canine dog being owned by a civilian individual where it's been trained to do certain things in a law enforcement respect that could create some sort of, you know, safety risk for whoever would end up buying it, or, you know, however that leaves the whatever liability that would put the county in. I mean, I don't know the legalities of all of it, but if you only say that only law enforcement can buy it, you know, well, then do you create a problem for yourself there by doing that as well? So that's all I would have to say about, you know, that's that.
Can we just vote on this motion? The dog goes back to the sheriff's department. All this work is on the sheriff's office. We shouldn't be surplus and stuff and going through that whole thing. It goes back to reset. We got information that was not necessarily comfortable, which is why we're coming back and looking at this decision. We need to be made more comfortable with the decision process. We've served for 45 minutes going around about this, and the gentleman that needs to be here isn't available right now. He needs to be part of the conversation. All we're doing is rescinding that motion and then all this other stuff. It's a law enforcement dog. I see one law enforcement officer in this room, and his boss isn't here. Now, we've got a responsibility to make that decision. Now we're finding out that the decision that was made we weren't comfortable with. So if we start to make more decisions before we're comfortable with them, we're going to be undoing more and making more citizens like Mrs. Moss upset. I think we rescind this motion. The dog goes back to the sheriff's office. There's going to be a cost to boarding this animal for a while. Sheriff gets back. They shake this thing out and come back with a better plan. We moved under the honorable auspice that there was going to be injury to the dog. There's nothing wrong with that decision, but now we've been given information where we've got some procedural issues we need to do differently. We rescind it, we go back, we still care about the animal, we get that. But there's a process that we need to get different and better information. And if we start surplusing and doing all this, we get into the weeds and this thing becomes a bigger mess. I love dogs, but I don't know if we need to talk 45 minutes about a dog when it's a sheriff's issue. It's a big issue. I get that. I'm not trying to minimize it, but the sheriff's department, nobody is sitting at this little half circle, is involved in law enforcement. Maybe you are the closest one.
We have someone who wants to make a comment.
I just got it.
Rick, if you could just give
Rick
your name.
Rick Traylor. Has the officer, the deputy left, has he been replaced yet?
No.
Can you hire a new officer with the stipulation that they become a handler?
That is a fantastic question.
That's all I got to say. That'd be an easy solution. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want a job. If you threw that on the table with it, they might accept it. You just never know. So,
yeah.
Just a comment.
It's an option. It's a long-term commitment after that for the training
right.
part of it.
I get that. Okay, that's all
we
I got.
We can do that, but that is a management thing on the part of the sheriff.
And he's not here.
That's correct.
Right.
Rick, I think if I recall correctly, we did ask that question, and I can't speak for the sheriff and his reasoning, but he didn't feel it was possible.
As a former postmaster, I've seen the city drug dog at work and in my office over there, and I think it'd be a shame to lose that option for the county because it did some amazing work. It's fun to watch them do their thing, so.
But the county still has a canine because Beatrice Police has one.
Right. I mean, yeah, they share that Are they going to share the local dog now?
Okay. They'll help us.
Okay.
It'll be the city's dog, but there's always work back and forth between agencies.
Right. I get you. Okay. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? And this motion is to rescind the board action taken on June 5th, which would be the sale of Buster to Deputy Bavency for $250. Vote. 6 in favor, with Jurgens voting nay. Motion carries.
Eric, I'd like to make one comment. I agree with Matt. It's hard to make any decisions at this point where it's a sheriff's office decision without the sheriff's input. Somehow I'm going to ask that if this dog goes into boarding, somehow there's got to be some way to maintain this animal and make sure that he doesn't go into a state of, to a point to where this dog has to be put down because he's not, because he loses so much weight and so much whatever. I don't want to see that on anybody's hands.
If Buster's currently with Colton, I don't know if that is the case. Maybe an arrangement can be made there even temporarily. I'm assuming if...
The first thing you got to watch out there is Buster's still insured by Gage County because it's still our dog. And we'd have to clear that with NIRMA. And you're going to have a contractual relationship. And that may come down to that. Because if what Gary's raising is a concern with the dog, fine. But I again, we're all doing what Matt says, let's quit doing and wondering what's the status of the dog. But I you know, we may be having a phone conference hearing or a meeting to deal with the situation, but let's worry about that down the road if it comes.
So do we need...
But it's a good point. I would recommend you not, you know, just say if he's with Colton, that's okay. It's not okay. Yeah. Colton is no longer an employee of this county. He is no longer the drug enforcement officer.
If you don't give it up.
That dog needs to be back with us, with you guys.
So do we need to
take him home?
Do we need to instruct Chief Deputy to reach out to Colton and get Buster back then?
I think, and I have no doubt Doug can...
Chief, has he turned in the other equipment and stuff he had at home already, or did he have that property yet too?
He has turned in the majority of his issued equipment. I believe it was supposed to be, with either this week or the next week, that he was supposed to bring the kennel, maybe, and the outdoor kennel, I think it is yet, but...
Most of it already.
Yes.
Would you be able to do that for us, reach out to him, and then I think Buster's been housed a couple places here in town professionally. I suppose...
And this isn't totally ruling out that it ends up going to Colton, but
no,
we're going to do it through the channels we should have. And I did ask the trainer about kenneling the dog, and he said, well, I guess that might be possible or something like that effect. I mean, it ain't, evidently ain't something he normally does. He didn't quote me any prices. He didn't say that he wanted to, but.
Is that yard still fenced in back there?
Oh my gosh, no.
The short answer is yes.
Just saying.
The trainer is in Omaha. The name of it. I can't. It eludes me right now.
Ed Van Buren.
Yeah. And Colton is in Washington County. I mean, if that's a close proximity, that's maybe a possibility that we could explore.
Should we have the clerk call, see if we can set something up there so it's close by, or would you rather have the Buster back here locally while we're talking about this?
Sheriff's Department issue.
We're going to okay, I'm going to go with Matt
I'm sorry,
Chief, if you can arrange something there.
I'll make some phone calls. I'll be in touch with Mr. Lytle and inform him of our problems.
Give me a shout if you need anything. All right, I'm going to see what we skipped here, moving from front to back.
Let's do the highway striking award.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Galen and Becky look ready. They've been looking bored for a while.
Are you ready to present, Galen?
Good, I am. Yep. I recommend accepting the low bid for option three from Straight Line Striping Incorporated for $45,326.40.
I'll move to approve that.
Second.
We have a motion by Hill, second by Dorn, to accept the bid by Straight Line for option three in the amount of $45,326.40. That would include edge of road striping as well as center line striping, with the contractor assuming passing and no passing zones. Any discussion?
Move to accept the award.
Accept an award or accept?
Accept an award.
Is that all right with you, Eddie? Okay, so this will be to accept an award. I'm sorry. Any more discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, Galen and Becky.
Come on now, relax.
I believe the next one we have up is, if I haven't skipped anything, is approve or disapprove interlocal agreement to create the Southeast Region, a separate entity to provide for cooperative public safety service by and among the counties of Cass, Gage, Fillmore, Jefferson, Johnson, Lancaster, Nemaha, Otoponee, Richardson, Saline, Seward, Thayer, and York. This agreement shall have a term of 5 years from final date of execution by all parties to the agreement, unless earlier terminated pursuant to terms of agreement.
Lisa told me this. We've had an agreement in the past. The fiscal right. agent was Lancaster, and now it's going over to Jefferson County. I think that was the changes that she indicated to me. Is that what
basically
you
basically? Again, just a real quick summary. Basically, by having this interlocal, it provides more flexibility as far as seeking grants. Sometimes you need a little bigger project, if you will, to seek federal funding. So this basically will continue that relationship, but moving Lancaster out.
And this is aimed towards emergency management, not law enforcement.
That's correct. Rule. That's correct. And it may still involve law enforcement in a given situation, depending on the funds that they're looking at. Right.
I would ask for a motion and second for
first
any additional discussion.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $50,000 from the miscellaneous general fund to the county jail budget for additional funding for obligations of said budget. This is the additional funds necessary to carry us through the end of the fiscal year. These are non-budgeted for funds. These are operations dollars. There has already been a transfer for $170,000. I believe $170,000 to the jail budget as well earlier. That was not enough money, again, to carry that to the end of the year. Some of that will be medical. That was a large ticket item this year, inmate medical, as well as going over on outside holding.
19-09.
The resolution 19-09.
Move to approve. Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. I'll say on this year's budget, we have tried to make additional increases to the jail budget so that we can stay within that budget, and we're going to ask the Sheriff's Department to stay within that budget. The outside medical was an uncontrolled, as well as additional outside holding. There are things that we can take a guess at, but not necessarily know the costs of ahead of time. Any additional discussion on the transfer of $50,000?
Eric, I just want to make one comment. It's all well and good, and it's great to try and hold the jail budget to a set amount or to cut costs or whatever, but when you have increased numbers of patrons that come into the jail and those said patrons have medical issues, whatever, that they have to deal with, unfortunately that's a burden put on the county, partially by the state, and it's just part of the deal. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. We don't budget for it. We don't want to budget for it. We don't want to spend those dollars there. It's part of the process. We have young ladies like Christina Lyons that does her best to try and reform people. We have a group of people upstairs at the police department down there that work with people coming out. And for the life of me right now, I'm
probation.
Thank you very much, Roger. Probation, that tries to reform and keep these people from coming back and being patrons of our county jail, but unfortunately the numbers just continue to rise and the costs are there. It's not a cost we wish to spend, but it's there.
Additional population this year was extremely high on outside medical expenses. The sheriff did put more money in for ACH for additional nursing this year to try to help with some of those medical expenses, but Gary's exactly
and those right. are expenses by prisoners we bring in for the city as well as the county. I just want to make that very clear.
All,
and we're paying for it.
All arrests. Any additional discussion or comment? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Discuss and approve or disapprove purchasing the new turbo radio system. Chief, do you want to, I guess I could ask for a motion in a second on that prior to discussion. Seeing none, we'll take some information from the chief.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
All right.
I'll be brief. I promise. This is a executive's summary that Mr. Byers had requested in the Monday morning meeting. Keep one for myself. I'll just do that and make sure I get the extra back.
Yes, sir.
We have had quite a bit of discussion over radios with the board over a period of time. I would like to read this summary. Maybe that just kind of gives a little brief on some of that as far as giving some explanation, may answer some questions, and just a quick overview if nobody objects to that. Approximately 5 years ago, Gage County migrated to a statewide radio system due in part to a aging radio system. We did some narrow banding. At that point, we had less than ideal coverage for both law enforcement and emergency management. That was a project I kind of came into at the end that was started by Lisa's couple predecessors ago. The state OCIO is who we work with on this. They partner with NPPD, which manages a statewide radio system. We purchased new radio equipment and became a user on a statewide radio system, in short, with the expectation that the OCIO would add a tower site in Gage County, most likely to be located in Blue Springs on that existing tower. Of course, that tower failed, and for whatever reason, they still have not put a site in Gage County, of course. We discovered gaps in our radio coverage. Initially, we added vehicular repeaters to the mobile units, which did help significantly, but still, to this day, we have gaps in our radio coverage within Gage County. To date, we still don't have another SRS site in Gage County to help resolve our connectivity issues. Over the last year, we began to test and research, look at some different options that we might have that might work better for us. One of them, it was the Motorola Turbo system. During that time, we worked a lot with First Wireless. We worked on coverage maps, site inspections, working with portables, mobiles, and repeaters. The end result has been very positive from what we got out of that. Based upon what we know, we would submit the following. Would make a recommendation that Gage County move forward with First Wireless to develop and install a robust turbo radio system infrastructure that would meet the needs of Gage County Sheriff, emergency management, corrections, and provide, pardon me, a redundancy for the communication that we have in the event of a catastrophic failure. Some considerations in over this overview is that in our research and conclusions, the benefits of having a locally owned and controlled turbo system outweigh the benefits of continuing to participate as a sole user of the SRS system. Some of the reasons are that we would have better transmit and receive coverage, significantly lower our upfront expense from what we previously did. We can essentially build an entire system for far less than one SRS site. We would have no monthly subscriber fees or user fees, which we currently do through the SRS system. We would have a low monthly tower rental. It would be somewhere in the $150 to $195. It'd be the same thing. Probably that I believe the highway department and probably the police department are paying now to utilize the First Wireless tower. Local control, it has become quite a deal. We have had several different spreadsheets and things that Lisa and I have worked in concert with to work together in emergency management, the sheriff's office, to compile and go through with the state. I know that the clerk has received some copies of that, and we've had some questions about, our billing, and they're going to be changing that process at the 1st of July. Whether that will help or hurt us at this point, we're really a little bit unclear. It's based on subscriber units, and if you're a user and it gets really complicated without, there's a lot of unnecessary details that are not probably pertinent to talk about here today. If we want to add a radio, we want to buy two radios, I call First Wireless or whoever and say, hey, I want two of these turbo radios. They program it up. We install it, and we're up and running. With the state, it's not that easy, and you can't do that. It's very cumbersome, and I'll let it go at that. Interoperability, currently, Beatrice Police Department has been approved, moved, placed the order for their turbo radios. Weimar Police Department currently has a turbo system in place that they are using those radios on a daily basis. Saline and Jefferson County are neighbors to the west currently and have for a period of time, quite some period of time now, been using the turbo system and have great knowledge, experience, and have built their system over a period of time. They are very happy, very confident with their system, and we would be able to use John McKee, their emergency manager, as a resource. That he appeared before a committee meeting here a couple meetings ago. I would just conclude this with I would move that suggest that we move forward to approve and partner with First Wireless to carefully develop, this system and purchase and install the Turbo UHF digital radio system. Once we're confident that it is successful and functioning as it is designed, that Gage County then either and or modify its relationship with the SRS. Once a successful migration has occurred, that we would propose at that point, some what our known trade-in costs are through a third-party vendor, and that we either do that or maintain just a designated number of those VHF radios that would aid in our internet action in a significant incident with emergency management as one user. Lisa with emergency management, again, has expressed that she does need to keep a certain amount of those radios for her interaction with some of the rural firefighters on that P25 system. That was a mouthful, but I'll be glad to answer any questions or have any discussion that you want, and I would invite Doug Ostergaard whenever you feel it's appropriate as representative of First Wireless, who has a lot of knowledge, to come up and give discussion on this.
As Mr. Bowman said, we can't approve or disapprove anything. We don't have a quote.
Okay.
So
the cost, I don't,
right, and Doug has a lot of those numbers. That's not included in this. This is just an overview. So what he would have is a total dollar amount for the project not to exceed that, as we did with the statewide system that we moved, you know, or the board moved at that time to approve it, not to exceed a certain dollar amount. And that's what I would recommend.
Turbo system, is that a proprietary system? So from a bidding standpoint, we've got one vendor. Is that correct?
I can let Doug comment a little bit more, but I believe that's a state bid price that, or actually maybe even a little lower than the state bid price, if I understand it correctly.
This is probably as good a time as any for Doug to come up and expand.
Absolutely. Expedite much time we can get you on your way.
Doug, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
What was the cost of that equipment 5 years ago? Do you remember?
Not hold me to this.
No, I won't.
I believe, if I remember correctly, and I have all that, and it's part of our record, it was around $750,000.
And the yearly fee to keep it?
That is a great question. I can tell you with some certainty that those numbers are, the clerk and I have talked a little bit the last couple days. That changes July 1. Lisa still thinks that she will be paying $120 separately from what we pay. I can't tell you that exactly. Roughly, that number annually is about $6,744, and that's in rough Odell High School math. That is that. There will still be a cost with First Wireless to use their tower in that 150 to 190 range per month, but we're going to have that as some place, I know. But
the 150 to 190 doesn't add up to 5 or 6,000.
No, the number that I gave you
gave.
That is for the statewide radio system.
That's what we have been paying.
That's what we would pay now. That's what we pay now for the statewide system, yeah. Not these guys.
Yeah, that's right. Your user statewide.
If this system's going to work, I say we move forward with it. It sounds like the other counties are using it. We were one of the first people outside of the State Patrol to use this. We had this room full of folks telling us how this was going to be the next great thing. It cost a significant amount of money. We had to do something different regardless. We couldn't stay on the old system because they went narrow banding and they did create some holes. There were some towers that didn't ever come to fruition. There was some communication, and I'm not poking fingers. It just hasn't worked the best for us. It puts law enforcement at risk, and it's not all about law enforcement. It also puts the citizens at risk that the law enforcement is helping. And so I think it does run into a public safety issue. It just hasn't worked out like we hoped it had, and we have put an enormous amount of time in this, and I am not going to continue to be negative because I really think communications are magic, and I don't really have a whole lot of things constructive to promote other than we just get a system that works. It's frustrating.
Mr. Ostergaard is probably tired of us yelling at him every time he comes in, too.
Well, Matt, one other thing. This is very similar to the K-9 program.
The dog is cheap compared to this.
Both of them are going to bite you.
But in all seriousness, is that we have put an enormous amount of time, and law enforcement has worked with communications and with Beatrice, and there really has been a team effort to try and get this to work. And at some point, you get tired of pushing that rock uphill, and I think we're just there with that system.
This has been a concerted effort by not just me.
Right.
We have met with lots of other individuals. We meet most monthly meetings at the police department for our communication user meetings with First Wireless. We've attended the statewide radio system, SUG user group meetings. You know, Carla from communications has attended those meetings. And I think we are honestly just to the point that we need to do this, and through every little bit of testing and research and phone calls, and we are to that point, and what we present to you is not a inflated, you know, super Cadillac project. This is something that is robust enough that we feel that, you know, we don't need to come back and say we need $100 million more to do this, that we have factored that into this, and some of those costs are a little unknown with engineering and different things and tower crews, that these are best estimates that you're getting. And that's why I suggest that we set a cap on that, which is prudent to do for not only the taxpayers, but for when we're building this project out, that we know where we stand and that we don't exceed that amount. And if we don't spend all that because we don't have to, then better yet for everybody.
Doug,
sir.
Any idea what this surplus equipment is going to be worth then?
That's we kind of
kinda
do.
Like the K-9
we kind of do know, and the price that we got, and that was probably a year ago. Is that would that be accurate, Doug?
That's right.
You know that we paid a lot of money for those radios.
I know,
and like this particular radio, I'm not going to quote the exact number, but it was in excess of $5,000. That a comparable one from the Turbo one is around $1,000. This radio is no longer made because it's past its service life or whatever, and they would give us about $300, if I remember correctly, for that radio. So I think we make that recommendation after that, after we move forward with this part of it, get everything set, running for a period of time that we know it's going to operate properly, and then we get a current pricing, if you will, for the radios that we have or that we feel that we want to surplus or get rid of, and then we come back with that money or that dollar amount to the law enforcement committee meeting, and then if there's wants to be board action after that, we can certainly take appropriate action as necessary.
Terry, if they go forward with this new system, they want to run them congruently for maybe two to six months to make sure everything's working before they would get rid of the other one, just to make sure there's not a we'll have to ask Doug, too, if these don't work. Mr. Ostergaard, if we put this all in, if we end up going with a new system and it doesn't work, will you take all this stuff back and we'll just go back to the current system we have that doesn't work?
That's a big commitment. what kind of guarantee can I give you that we will build a system that will be sufficient for their needs? I guess I'm not quite sure how to guarantee that. You know, with this system, the beauty of it is we have control of it. We can put, equipment where we need it relatively easily. You know, I've kind of got a cost breakdown. Not to dancing around your question here, I guess, but, for $15,000, roughly, we can throw a site in, in Adams or in Odell or Barnston. So any gaps that are left after we kind of hit our main sites can kind of easily be filled in. So I'm confident that we can build a system relatively easily that will provide the coverage necessary. That being said, my guarantee is probably better stated that I will make a system that does give the coverage necessary.
Do you have some type of quote for us? Because our on the agenda we have to discuss and approve or disapprove purchasing a turbo radio system, but we don't have the actual quote.
Right. I have paperwork. If you want to call it a quote, we probably could. What it is, what I did is I looked at each site and kind of, because there's little variations for what we hear there, and some of these costs are estimates, tower crews and stuff. We had a very short time period here to try to do testing and get any kind of, I didn't even reach out to tower crews to get estimates. I just kind of knew about where they'd be. So I have basically a page that lists what I'm approximating each site to be, what the mobile radio or the subscriber equipment, the mobiles and the portables, and then I have a totals page, and I left a line item on there for basically design and kind of as excess, overages. I can give you that. If you like that, I can give you that. It's not a real clean document. It's not something I would normally hand out, but I could sure give you that if you'd like to have that.
I guess I don't know if we move forward with something like this, I don't know what we're required to have. If we're at that point, we're ready for that. Gary or Doug,
nothing has been said for sure.
Are these state bid items?
The radio equipment would all be available on the state contract, yes. My prices, I can make some guarantees that we will never be over state contract price. A lot of it is just even 10% off list price, which I'm well under that. So I can guarantee that everything
when priced to you would be less than state contract.
I just don't know what we're required to have. I guess if it's state or less, we don't need a bid then. It just depends on the...
It's up to the board, but again, what are you bidding on? A concept. And I don't work with Doug. I don't have any problem with this guy at all, and I don't want anybody to say I do. I'm just saying, usually when you're going to vote on something, it goes X number of radios at, boom, sites, boom, boom, boom. And at least gives you, okay, and I mean, typically you don't give any of us, you know, just don't spend more than $100,000.
Right.
We all know and love us, but, you know, you guys usually have your finger, you know, or your thumb on it a little closer. And that's the only thing. And I think, as I'm reading Doug here, he's pretty uncomfortable saying, well, you know, I mean, without having... I mean, the concept, obviously you've been talking with the sheriff's office as far as what their needs and stuff are.
Yeah.
I would just suggest you at least have something like that that the board would feel comfortable saying, okay, this is close. We can handle this. Because, I mean, the number, I haven't heard, and again, I didn't look at the paper, but what's the number that ballpark?
Right. So... I'm gonna tell you a number. I don't see us going over $275,000, but what that includes, and I'll be happy to provide you with this paperwork. I just kind of wanted to preface it with, it's not like all buttoned up, neat and tidy. Some of it is copied and pasted, and oh, we don't need this, so I just took the quantity out. The line item's still listed, and kind of totals up. And with that. With that, trying not to go into all the gory details, but so, you know, there's a system design that to give very, very good coverage, but then we talked about vehicular repeaters, so there's a line item for that, and I can easily see us possibly building the system and not doing the vehicular repeaters, and that's a pretty big, I believe the line item was like $76,000. So, and we talked in the committee meeting about some of the testing we did in like towns like the one that sticks out to me was Liberty, you know, and not much population there, but maybe a lot of calls for service. And as Chief Lang said, a lot of those calls for service are because there's not a lot of population there. So, you know, that was an area where, you know, maybe we need the vehicular repeater but there are, I guess what we haven't done, and it would take a lot of time to do, I'm not saying, and if that's what you want, we can do that, but to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and say, here's exactly what you're getting, here's exactly what the price is.
That's our obligation as a board representing the taxpayers of Gage County. The devil is in the details. And just saying, oh, well, we'll just accept it and whatever, you know, you think we might need. We don't know what we're going to need. I think we need details.
We did ask them, and we did ask Doug and Doug to get something together for us quickly. They've been doing testing on there. I guess that's what I'm asking is what – And Gary, this might be a question for you. What are you comfortable with presenting? Do we need the breakdown of this is what we have, or this is? They have a package put together for us that they think will work. They just think they can use different pieces of that. They may not need different pieces of that, so they're going to implement them as they find out what's needing. I just don't know. Do we need? This is what this is including, and how broken down, how detailed do we need?
Well, I trust this individual who's worked with us in the past. But, again, we don't know. What are we going to need? What aren't we going to need? How much are we going to need? How much is it going to cost? And $200,000+ is a lot of money. And I just I'm very negative about trying to make any decision on this unless – we have the details.
I want to say I appreciate you saying that you trust me. Several of you have expressed that. I really do appreciate that, and I definitely understand the legal process that needs to have to go through. I guess I'm here telling you what I've got for you today, and if we need to do some other legal process, I'm here to give you whatever you need.
I would say we need a list of the number of radios. We need the tower sites that you know you're going to use, and we need the ones that you may use, the optional sites that may be required.
I guess if we're running congruent with the other system, we do have some time.
Yep.
But so you can start out with your base system that we, like John said, we know we need. I mean, you have two options. Either you say, okay, we're going to go into it knowing that there's going to be some additions or changes to this system, just because we don't have all the answers as to what will for sure work at this time. So you can either go into it knowing that, or you can go into it buying the base package or whatever, and then, you know, if there's other additions that we have to buy as we move forward, then we buy them as needed. But it would be something that we would have to, in my opinion anyway, I think Doug would agree, we would need to have that, we'd have to have that figured out in that time period you have SRS still, so that, you know, we have a working system when we're done with the SRS. Is that fair to say?
Right.
And one of the biggest benefits to this is, instead of having to try to go through the state, you can make the corrections yourself now on this system.
Right, right, right.
So we don't have a bid in front of us. Would it make sense we wait until we have a bid for that base system with some options? Or are you suggesting that we tell them to start on something?
I think that's our choice.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
That's our choice. We have a couple of different roads we can go down.
We have some rough numbers for radios, specific numbers. You know, part of that is, I think, that if it's appropriate to say that we would factor a line for portable radios this much. Mobile radios, this much. Tower stuff, this much. As a simpler breakdown, you know, without, if we buy 31 instead of 32 or 33 instead of 30 of these certain radios, I mean, I think that there has to be some leeway inside that, just like we did with the SRS, to determine our final numbers, you know, for that, and installs and different vehicles at different locations might require something a little bit more specific versus, you know, the other. So I think that...
You have the money in this year's budget to pay for them?
It's not my budget, Jenny.
Because I think I've seen here that we approved an additional thousands and thousands of dollars to the jail because you didn't have any money.
And just to clarify on that, though, the sheriff did stay under budget this year. The jail budget went over. It was for some of those items we talked about, but the sheriff did finish their budget... or finish the year under their budgeted amount.
Okay, well, that's just what I'm trying to figure out. Where's this money going to come from? Talking $250,000, $300,000. It's not small change.
The only place we would have is either have the sheriff budget for that for next year, or we would have to pull that out of inheritance. Those would be the two options.
Okay. I don't think we can approve anything until we get the actual financial numbers and see what it's going to cost us, and then we look at where we're going to get the money, where we're going to take it out. We're going to take it out of inheritance. Let's look at it and see. Am I the only one that thinks that
we need a list of stuff?
Well, and I'm sitting here looking at my paperwork going, well, you know, what has... And Eric, let me start with just handing you this. I guess this is a...
that's the list of, you know, each one of these then is broken out on a separate page in more detail. So these are the totals. And honestly, that's, you know, that's just kind of a lump sum labor right. and design, and I don't expect it to be that much. You know, and as you look at this...
Could I make copies of this and give it to the guys quick?
So
if your paperwork ain't where you want it to be, we can do it in 2 weeks. I mean...
Well, the thing is on that, I mean, for us to approve something, we really need something to directly approve. I know what you've given us there is this is what it could be, because that has everything in it, correct? Everything that
right.
you anticipate potentially needing?
So, kind of the way I view that and how we need to tweak that from there is, you know, yeah, if we build out the system and use all of those sites, there's a few sites on there that are Odell, Philly, Adam, Barnston. I think there's two designs into one there, the ones with the vehicular repeaters and ones with all of the voting receiver sites.
Your two systems in one under the same dollar umbrella, basically, where you may
right.
not need a large portion of that.
Right. I think if we go vehicular repeaters, well, then we pull out some of those sites. If we go all those sites, we pull out the vehicular repeaters.
Time is part of this too.
So, I guess
sooner we can implement.
Chief, how does that affect you? Is there any effect if I asked you to push this through and get your testing done and get something together. Is it best to have, and I guess Gary too, is it best to have a bid two ways, one with all the sites and one with the repeaters and the mobile repeaters? Is it better to, it's probably easier to have this where you can work off of what you need. Just trying to think, like John said, we can't approve a... We need something hard to approve, I guess. And this is more specific here. I mean, look, we have a breakdown, and we'll all have that here in just a second.
Yeah, I think if you recall, and well, obviously I shouldn't say that because not everybody was here then. But you know, for the statewide radio system project that we did then, you know, we had some of those rough numbers. We had some of those rough ideas. You know, and then we had that just basically essentially the same thing that Mr. Ostergaard has here today with that estimated total amount. Part of the, and then the board moved and voted and approved not to exceed a certain dollar amount based upon that information that we had researched and that he had provided up to that date. And that's kind of where we are again today. I don't know that it's right to call it a bid versus a quote versus whatever the language is you want to use, but if we are looking for a quote, this is the as close as we can probably get today. And if you're going to call it a bid and you do this in whatever different fashion and we factor in the $76,000 in vehicular repeaters and we don't need them, you know, how does that work? I guess I don't want us to spend money we don't need to spend, you know, and that $76,000 is no small amount, but if we don't need it, then we don't spend it. So that's looking at it maybe more pragmatically one way than the other, but, I think that's also prudent to do it that way.
And I guess from law enforcement committee, would you anticipate wanting to budget the sheriff's budget, or would you anticipate just taking this from inheritance?
Until the budget's right before it gets sent to the Secretary of State.
Terry, on any of this?
You don't know.
That's a question. Obviously, there's not that money in that budget. It would have to be budgeted for and planned for that way if that's the route it went. This is a capital improvement or capital expense like other items.
Doug, or anybody, what system does the roads department use now then?
So they utilize a repeater on our tower here at our Beatrice Tower, okay. Listed as the FWI tower.
And the radio system is?
It is just an analog system. I believe they own their own repeater. I think it was a Kenwood repeater with mobile radios. But
how old are these radios? Any idea?
Theirs? No. They weren't. They were. You moved your service to our repeater a couple of years ago. They were in existence then.
All I'm saying is I haven't heard any complaints about their radio system down there.
Yes, yeah. So here's is why maybe we're not given exact details, and here's the struggle we have. If I put a repeater on our tower, Moto Turbo, like we're going to do for the police department, we're going to have 90% coverage. It's going to work great in 85 to 90% of your county. But the sheriff needs to be able to go into houses in the corners of the counties, into buildings with a handheld radio and be able to talk out from there. Everywhere in the county. You know, the roads has a mobile radio mounted in a vehicle, antenna on the roof, which is a better, just functions better ground plane.
In the vehicle all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, they can probably almost talk from Lincoln. It's that power, you know, the portable radio that's battery powered.
That's
powered
way down.
We're trying to figure out
to make those work properly
on the deputy's hip. You know, it's yeah. So, kind of what I've pieced this together, and we can run coverage maps. We have run coverage maps, and they give us an estimate of what we'll have for coverage. We can make it look very good. We can't make it look good with just one tower anywhere. You know, the as we list off the towers here, and there's the FWI tower here, and Beatrice covers great. The Hallam Tower is actually in Lancaster County, maintained by City Lincoln Radio Shop. It's a great facility. Backup power, generator power. There's an antenna already there. It's been paid for with grant money. We are plugged into it right now testing. Doug talked from his house outside of Odell, outside his house with a portable radio from there. I mean, it talks throughout all the county, but he can't go in to his house and talk. Can't go into his house or a building in Odell and talk back even on the first wireless tower. We've utilizing the Wymore water tower, and we've done testing with that because that's in place and easy to test with. And again, a lot of the same results. Talks out a long ways, but not some of these, small wires.
To kind of hit somewhere in between, there's a tower that was put on Highway 8 5, 6, 7 years ago, kind of in between Odell, Wymore.
Horvath tower.
That one. Would it be... At the time, I know the county had a space that was designated to it to be able to use if they ever wanted to.
Yes.
Would that be something that would
eliminate
one or the other and right in the middle?
Right. So we have a fair amount of experience with that tower. We did put rural fire on that tower, and it creates a little bit of a hole in Wymore. It covers Barnston and Odell pretty well. But it creates a little bit of a hole in Wymore. So we've been balancing that whole idea. But I guess, and just kind of explain, you know, how I've pieced this together. So if we can connect these sites together, that's something we can do with the Moto Turbo line with an Ethernet connection. And this pricing includes your own microwave. Unlicensed microwave to connect these things. We could possibly use Diode for that. They don't have coverage in Barnston. You'd have to work something out there. But we thought it would be more robust if we owned it ourselves. You owned it yourselves, and really the price point wasn't real high, considering. So we connect these sites together. None of them really give us portable talk out coverage in Barnston and Odell. If we do what's called a voting receiver there, IP connected back. And that's where then, you know, maybe we don't need these vehicular repeaters. If we put those in, maybe we don't do the vehicular repeaters, or vice versa. Buy their vehicular repeaters and don't put those in.
One other question I have. Why weren't you here 5 years ago?
Yes.
I was here 5 years ago.
why didn't we go with you then?
We did. You sort of did with Motorola and myself as a representative. And I guess the statewide system was relatively new, and we thought with.
I mean, at that time, was this system we're talking about now available?
Why weren't we? There's aspects of it that were. This is a system. This is a protocol that it kind of evolves, and I'm kind of thinking what functionality, what features we had. The statewide system is really. There's a good rationale to go that way, with all the interoperability and the state owning the system and all that, and that was a good thought process at the time. And I think just where it's fallen short in Gage County is the coverage, really, and that's the equipment is good equipment, good solid equipment. I don't think Doug would argue with that at all. It's They do not have the coverage necessary to talk everywhere they need to talk. That's there. That is probably the biggest concern. Yes. And then the fact that they can't get anything done about that.
So, Klaus, if we had that Blue Springs tower on the statewide radio system, would we be having this conversation?
Great question. Without actually being able to have the luxury of having a site and experiencing it, day in, day out, I don't know. I mean, we would assume that to be true, yes, or even having another tower centrally located without the county that would, in theory, give us good coverage, to all corners of the county. One would certainly think so, but, that cost being upwards of $350,000 to $400,000, I think is the big hang up where we can do this whole thing for a lot less than that and not have all the other associated costs with the statewide system in addition to that upfront equipment cost. I think that's where this far outweighs that, benefit of the other.
And as bad as the state has not kept up its end of the deal in placing a tower here, should we be approaching them and seeing if they would share the cost of a tower in the southern part of the county?
Excellent question. I think that if you recall, over a period of time, we have done that on numerous occasions, had those conversations, and
they're not interested.
The tower got put in Pawnee County.
I need to clarify one thing in my memory, and one was. The $750,000 price tag, I believe we spent $400,000 5 years ago. And I think because the additional $350,000 was going to be the cost of that site. And that site didn't ever get put in because the tower failed inspection.
I don't know.
I
remember that right.
We weren't going to build a tower because the tower was in Blue Springs.
When I say site, I'm sorry. A site is the equipment that goes on the tower.
And that is that much to put?
the repeater equipment and control and everything for that P25 trunked system. Yeah, and I think today we're looking probably around $500,000 for that. If that was located on our tower here in Beatrice, I think that would make a huge difference.
Because right now our statewide radio system is coming off of which towers?
So I would say your main site is the Ellis site, right on the county line.
And then Hallam?
No. Cheney,
okay.
Milford. What's that one? Sterling.
Sterling.
And then over in Pawnee County.
Whereabouts in Pawnee County is that site? Obviously not where it covers Southern Gage.
Yeah, it's right outside of Pawnee City.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's the state will tell you it is built for mobile coverage, not handheld coverage. The state patrol uses vehicular repeaters and.
So do we, though.
I'm sorry?
So do we.
Yes, you do.
What do the fire departments use?
There's a so the would be what could what would be called a conventional system, just a repeater that there's one on Horvath, there's one on the Pickerel Tower, and one on the Hallam Tower, as well as then Beatrice Rural and Philly are using one on our tower here. They just need to cover their own districts. Where the sheriff becomes a problem is he's got to cover the entire county. You have a big county, and he kind of needs to be able to talk in buildings throughout the county.
So even if we had a statewide on your tower, we wouldn't know if we'd be able to talk in buildings. It still could be substandard to what your thought is.
We don't know that, right. The one benefit that we know is that UHF, which is what we would propose for this newer turbo system digital, versus VHF, that UHF, it transmits through brick and mortar, you know, structures, has a lot better penetration than VHF does.
Now, what is there on this list of stuff, those first two lines? Are the deputies going to have two radios?
So the first line item, yes, good question. The first line item is the mobile radios that mount in the cars.
Okay.
And the second line item is the handheld radio.
Okay.
The third line item is then a smaller device that they are interested in maybe having a few of.
The answer is yes, they'd have two radios.
Just out of curiosity, what's the smaller device that you'd have a few of?
The little SL7550, it's just very compact. I guess, Doug, you may maybe speak of where you'd want those, I mean, the sheriff to carry one and more compact.
Well, we had received a small number, and that's kind of how we even got led into this whole idea about turbo radios, is that we had gotten a small number. A very small number, through a U.S. Marshals grant for a sex offender compliance project that we worked with them, and we had put in for like a little bank of these, and that's how we kind of got to use these. And so we use some of those smaller, less discreet radios, if you will, for some surveillance things and maybe some controlled by situations that we work in. Those they look a lot more like a little cell phone than they do a big old police radio. So they're a lightweight, compact radio.
Got one more question for Klaus. For the areas that are close to these towers, like the Ellis Tower and the Sterling Tower, do you have as good a coverage in Adams with the statewide radio system as you will with the turbo radio?
No, we don't. Adams is a bad spot. I mean, there's just no getting around that.
But, you know, but the Sterling Tower should be covering Adams.
Yes, it should. It absolutely should be. But there is no guarantee that it does, and that's the problem that we face. Is you buy Adams, by Cortland, you know, with the further we can get right to the county line, sometimes we don't have coverage. And I'm not saying that to be mean to the statewide radio system. It's just that those things do occur. And when you have that many sites, and one of our guys was roaming off the Plattsmith Tower 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, it's got to disconnect from that to get to the next one, and the further you go this way. And, you know, we don't want that to happen, I guess.
I don't remember the exact situation. Doug might, but I don't remember the exact situation, but we had deputies, I think it was an accident maybe, on 77 possibly, and there were one on each side of the road, and they couldn't even communicate across the road from each other. Do you remember?
No, I
remember that incident.
We've had an incident, you know, and one of them I know was in Odell by the grocery store on a burglar alarm call that we had responded to there, and one guy was standing outside of his truck right there, and the other guy was by the store, you know, and the two were right there, and they couldn't talk, you know, but, you know, there's lots of variables that could make those things happen. Not that it's good, but there's lots of reasons.
So even when you're under the coverage area of a statewide radio system tower, you're not finding it acceptable?
That is absolutely correct.
So I guess I'll throw this on Gary. What would the law enforcement committee recommend for this? I know this was visited about Monday again. And this is what we asked for them to bring, basically.
Right. You were there just as well as I was.
I know. I'm trying to distance over to you.
I think this whole board was here.
I think I've got my questions asked, but I think I'd feel better voting in 2 weeks.
So if you want a exact diagram and pricing on what you're going to need, it's probably going to take several months longer to come up with that. That'd be fair to say, Doug?
I don't know about several months, but...
Several being two or three.
Yeah. What is today?
The 19th of June.
Yeah. There's vacations coming up. That's one caveat. Maybe close to two, yeah, with vacations figured in there.
So
vacation.
Which is fine. If this board feels like that's what needs to happen, then that's what should happen, I guess. You know, to get the exact numbers as to what we're looking at and what the expense is. I don't know exactly how the city operated when they moved forward with changing over this system. I think they did something similar to this, but I'm not exact on what they did, so I can't say that. But I mean, there's just no way to know exactly what we're going to need as far as these items until we actually have either more testing or start running the base part of the system and see where we need to expand.
Doug, well, were you privy to that at all with the city?
Yeah, absolutely. What the city bought was basically the different quantities of the first two line items and then line item number four because they will have excellent coverage because they don't cover the entire county and the tower's right here. It's all the other kind of the variables that I guess one of the things that was in our minds, I think, as Doug and I worked on this and talked about it, was it has been said on several occasions, we don't want to do this again.
Yep.
We don't want to, and so we didn't want to. I also didn't want to come with this and say, okay, we're going to build these four sites and that's going to be it. And have you come back and go, oh, we need a couple voting receivers here and here. You know, because we can't, you know, I mean, our map showed that we'd have coverage, but we don't quite have enough here and here. So that's was kind of some of our thinking, too, as we're putting information together for you. And
that's why we don't want to do it again. Then why do we rush into it? I mean, we have time. We don't need to panic, and there's nothing that is emergency.
I would say there's no reason to rush in, but like what Gary just said, I understand that. Reading through this, even if you go through and do all your studies, I mean, the problem we have is substandard radio. Your radio's not working. I mean, I've been on the board for just over 4 years now, 4.5 years. Every week we know your radios aren't working to the point where we can't even always talk about it if there's something specific not working. This is a plan that says this is what we may need. Would it be fair to say, Doug, if you went through and did all your testing, you came back to us in 2.5 months, you may still put it into actual practice and you may still end up, before you have the equipment actually in the vehicles, you may get it all done, all your testing done, and then you come to us 2 months later and say, we did need that other tower. I mean, is that a realistic assumption? Because we've done a lot of testing on this other radio.
Mm-hmm. Not sure if I understand your question exactly.
If we wait, if we don't do anything, instead of saying this is everything. I mean, you've put basically we have the equipment that you know we need. Those are the items right off the top. Those are what the Sheriff's Department says we need these items. And then it's just a matter of, do we need mobile repeaters? Do we need each of these tower sites? So if you come back in 2.5 months, you're going to try to go through and say, we don't think we need this. We don't think – am I understanding this right?
And you know, okay, I think maybe a better way to answer that question and maybe even explain our thought process going into this was because we kind of feel like we're laying out a worst-case scenario, and if you want it in a bid sort of thing, we're going to come to you and go, here's the system we're building, and then you're spending that money. Whereas with this, it's kind of like a shopping list, and we're going to start with these things that we know we've got to have, and maybe we add these in to fill in some holes. So that may not be the normal way of doing things, maybe it's not even the proper way of doing things, but that was kind of our mindset, I guess, with doing it this way.
What he's saying makes sense to me. Somebody comes to me, well, what's it going to cost to fix that? Well, looking at something and fixing it's a whole different ball game. So if they need an estimate, yeah, I'll give them an estimate. I'll make damn sure I'm high enough, okay?
Believe me,
you
I
have
know,
to.
Terry.
What? You don't ever ask for an estimate. But, I mean, that's the way you got to do it. You have no choice because everything now in his case is a little different, and in his case it's also a little different where they have a price they're working on. He doesn't come up here and say, you know, the price is going to be $250,000, and then we say to him, well, can you do it for $200,000? He's not a used card salesman. He's not going to do it for $200,000. He's got that price set there. He knows what he needs to do it with, you know. So, and he's the only ball game in town.
Well, and I understand it better now. We have a breakdown. Just trying to approve something without anything in front of us. And reading through it, I understand this more. This is what we may need. I still wonder if we do the testing, if you would come back afterwards. We still don't know for sure until it's being used.
You're right. You're right, because there is some balancing of the system that we will have to do, and making sure that if getting into the technical aspects of it. I mean, we're standing in Odell, and we're receiving the Beatrice Tower just as strongly as we're receiving the Wymore Tower, and we've got to, if we're going to vote on put a voting receiver there, we've got to balance that out, and some of that's just putting on the air and making adjustments.
So, Doug, there's a chance out of this $275,000, there's a chance that, you know, if we decide that the right way to go is to use vehicular repeaters, mm-hmm. there's a good chance that some of these towers get eliminated or not necessity at that point.
Yes. I think it's conceivable that if we did line item 12, we wouldn't do maybe line items 8, 9, and 10, which is, you know, or possibly we take this and maybe do one more site in Liberty and not do any of the vehicular repeaters. I think that would be a worst-case scenario on sites that we'd build.
And that would still be cheaper to not...
Yeah, you see the, you know... Vehicle. Yeah, Liberty's not sure where we'd put stuff, roughly $15,000, I think, is a...
Of course, the tough thing is the dollar amount. It's just so much money, but the system we have doesn't work. It's failed. We know that. That's just the heartburn, is the dollar amount. We know it's going to be a lot of money. There's a reason Jefferson's gone to this. There's a reason Beatrice is going to this.
I realize we don't have to change something right now, but you know
some of the discussion as far as statewide radio and whatever else, you know, we'd be spending more than this amount for the 40 portable units. If we stayed with the equipment we have now and we replace it, the 40 portable units that we would buy for $44,000 would actually cost us about $280,000. If I recall, $7,000 a portable unit, wasn't it?
It was about that, yeah.
Yeah. So 40 units would be $280,000. Just them portable units would cost us more than what this whole umbrella number is.
I've kind of had some of those thoughts on my own, you know, and I mean, yeah, you do have 5-year-old radios. That's not real old. To be perfectly blunt, your county's looking 5 years down the road with some tough times ahead, and if you need to add a few radios, and sticking with that, there's going to be a pretty big price tag there, or replace some radios.
Within three years, we're going to start replacing units. I mean, it seems like about 8 years old, 7 to 8 years old, it seems like you start replacing handheld units. I mean,
well,
just
warranty is five on these.
Right. Yeah. Five-year, yeah. But I mean, on 7, 8 years old
on the new ones.
When we start end up replacing
right.
something. So, I mean, we're only a couple years off of that.
But in law enforcement, you can't wait until after it fails. I mean, this is if the highway department has a radio that goes down and they run for 2 weeks without it, put it back in once you have time. This is a different scenario.
Didn't raise his hand.
I think that this is definitely the route that we need to be taking. But if this board is asking for a more refined number to move forward with, then we're going to have to wait until 2 weeks from today to do that. If you want to move forward with this umbrella number, knowing that some of these pieces probably will not be used, then that's what we have in front of us today. I don't see that there's a way for us to refine this number today. Do you, Doug, or am I wrong?
Not really. I was thinking about this while you're talking to the one line item on here. I mean, we were going at this with an idea that we might ask, I think Doug and I, that would ask for a not to exceed number. And so that was another line item on here, is number 13. I mean, there's going to be some additional labor, but I rounded that up, you know, to $25,000 as a
worst case scenario.
So yeah, to give us that $25,000 could be for an additional site, you know. But again, if we do an additional site, we don't do the vehicular repeaters. So I don't expect your bill to be $275,000. That was our mindset again, was not to exceed number.
And I mean, just to be clearly blunt here, I think that some of the heartache that maybe is being had up here in the air, some of the slowness or the uneasiness that maybe is being held in some of these chairs up here is that, I think if I remember right, when Gus first came in discussing these, I want to say he was throwing a number of around 100,000. I mean, but that was just thinking of radios and that. It wasn't thinking of the sites. I mean, Gus is the sheriff. He's not the radio technician that's the expert in this field. So I don't know. Maybe I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm just throwing it out that maybe that's some of the reservation that's being held right now.
I think I stood here at a committee meeting and told Mr. Bellman that maybe 150, 175. And as I look at my numbers, I'm like, I think I'm still correct, because what we've added in there is our own microwave system for backhaul and the vehicular repeaters.
Which we may not need.
This thought process was, here's a cover all, we'll stay under that.
I don't know that you're going to get a lot more refinement, John. I guess The biggest thing is you have to make the decision, is the system failed, broken, have to walk away from it, or do we try to repair what we have?
They've been selling it for several years.
I think it is.
Well, I think everyone's on the same page with all the issues.
I wouldn't say it was broke. It was never right.
It's as good as it's going to get.
But I still think we ought to vote in 2 weeks. Whatever proposal we bring forward.
After 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to argue to wait, vote in 2 weeks later on anything.
And if Roger tells us this is all we need, well, I'm good.
Well, and I think everybody's expressed hesitation. Is that $675,000 that was going to solve everything you asked for, the recognition that no matter what you spend or what these guys come up with, there are going to be pockets in this county in a given circumstances will be out of touch. There's nothing on this earth that's going to fix that. They don't like to hear that, but I mean, and I think Doug's been honest about that. The numbers, like he says, this is the top knot, top of the heap, okay? I'm going to probably be able to trim you some, but I can't warn you. I can't guarantee I would be able to do that until we get in and try it.
You know, and then
So, with that understanding and the fact that he is the only game in town, there's nobody else out there you can go call. No offense here, but that's what you have to do is justify to the public. That. I got the best I can get.
There are. They just have to travel a ways. But anyway,
they've been knocking at the door.
We're not getting a lot of good service out of China lately.
And I'm not. I'm not trying to push the board one way or another. Line items 1 through 7 are kind of really where we start. And then from there, do we decide where we put voting receivers or vehicular repeaters? That would just be a thought that that doesn't prevent us from coming back and saying, hey, we need more money for this or that, which is something we're trying to stay away from.
Those are tough. And I would lean towards staying with stuff out of the car so we don't have to leave the cars run. We need to figure that out, Doug. That'd be awesome if we didn't have the cars running all the time. But that's computers, repeaters. I mean, that's a lot of equipment.
Well, and that's what Doug and I were kind of having that little discussion here is that if you go with lines 1 through 7 and include 8, 9, 10 and possibly 16, which would be a site in Liberty or around Liberty, at that point there's no need to have the vehicular repeaters. So that eliminates that $76,000 there. Would include an additional 8, 9, 10,000, 11,000, whatever that number is for something to go into the Liberty area.
Number 11, is that something we need to purchase? Is that something at the police department?
Right.
Would that be something that wouldn't be ours?
We discussed that and we decided we'd leave it on here for now and
or will they have it already?
They'll have one for their own, but they would have to have a separate radio for ours.
Oh, they have to have a separate station for us?
Well, yeah, another repeat radio.
Whatever they call the console. They'll have that anyway with part of our, because they want to get rid of their current console we use for the P25 or the statewide. They want to get rid of that as it is, which would... I would assume they would have to put a new one in for us, wouldn't they?
They'd have to have.
They have to provide our communication by contract.
So, hopefully, I mean that may be $4,400. We wouldn't have to pay. I guess, Gary, I'm okay. If we know it's broken, we need to replace it. I don't like it. I'm not going to pretend I do. But if we know it's broken, we know we need to replace it. This is what we've asked them to do, is come back with something that is going to work. It's less money long term. 2 weeks from now, I'm also okay if everybody wants to wait 2 weeks, especially after 2 weeks ago, and, you know, giving people a chance to talk about it and think about it. I know I've also asked Chief to get something together for us now. I don't see a lot of change
now to 2 weeks from now.
This piece of paper is the same one that you're going to see in 2 weeks.
And are these pyramid vehicular repeaters or pyramid vehicles?
Pyramid. Did I have a spelled wrong in there? Yeah, I do. They are pyramid.
Hadn't heard any pyramids.
No, I'm not sure what a pyramid is.
So, nice.
Yeah, I think Mr. Lytle was saying with, you know, I mean, what I get from you in 2 weeks is maybe just more detail of the pieces and parts that go into each site.
Sounds good.
So the consensus would be, is there a motion? Is there not a motion? Does this wait 2 weeks?
I'll move to put it on the agenda to approve it in 2 weeks.
Second.
We vote on something like that? All right.
Basically, it's a motion.
We have a motion and a second to revisit this and put it on the agenda for changing communication equipment and service in 2 weeks. Discussion.
So are we having this discussion because we think that there's a deficiency in our radio system? This is a question I ask everybody sitting around this table.
I would say yes.
Me too.
Okay. So what are our options going to be as far as moving forward with radio systems? Is it going to be the Motorola Turbo system, or is it going to be something else?
As far as I know now, it's going to be Motorola.
And it'll be the Turbo system that we have numbers for right here.
Well, we don't have any other bids, do we? Or anybody else checking it out, do we?
Have we solicited any others? We talked to anybody else.
It's a state bid price.
So just the state. We haven't talked to any other providers.
No, Denny. This would be like equipment. It'd be state bid. So everyone bids to the state, and then that's how, you know, just like if we're buying a machine. So this is the system. They've talked to the other surrounding sheriff's departments, local police department. But yeah, we haven't put this out to bids. The state put it out to bids, and we're piggybacking off of them, which they have a bigger buying capability than us also. So sometimes
yes,
they'll get a bigger.
Yes, I totally bid. Understand that.
I know you do.
Just all of those, but yeah. I want to make sure that we're checking and rechecking. And no, Doug, you do a good job, but I think we need to compare if we can.
Doug, out of curiosity, with this being state bid, when this was bid by the state, were there other systems bid at that time?
I think you mean so when the state bid was put together?
So these are state bid prices. I assume the state solicited bids, and then were there different types of systems?
Was it a bid, or they just solicited?
So what the state contract is vendors then put their own proposals together for states. Something I don't quite understand, there's now a consortium of states that have bonded together. So it's not just the state of Nebraska. There's an acronym for it. I forget what it is. But it's so as a state, you can then sign up.
The state of Nebraska isn't that large. So if they join together with this group.
Yeah.
It gets better buying power. Technically, what it is, it lowers the price.
So in a company like Motorola, then says, if you're a state entity, you're going to buy off this contract. These items are discounted 35% off of list price. And so it's a mechanism that the county can then use to not have to go through the bid process to simplify your purchasing. And so, you know, it wasn't like Motorola bid just this. They just have a blanket, here's our state contract price for, or state contract discount for that unit. Does give them the leeway if they raise their list price, the end user price goes up as well. It's just a percentage off of list. And I can provide you with what that is. Again, I'm saying my prices are below that. And that is what I understand, that it has to be at or below state contract price.
Correct. And again, part of the other thing, that it's not just the price and availability, but it also gets into some of the expertise, kind of like what we struggle with IP stuff. The state has looked at these things. They satisfy the requirements of law enforcement. Now, you have to make a choice which way you're going to go, whether you're going to jump on the statewide system or the other one. But, I mean, that it does give you that assurance, too, that at least the state has recognized that it meets these, I hate to use minimum specifications, but that's basically what it is. So you're not buying some chicken at Polk that won't work. And, again, I go back and it's just, we're always going to have a problem in a certain area. And as much as you guys try and improve that and stuff, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. And it
does get to be, yes. What was the analogy I tried to, for 90% we can cover easily. That extra 10, doubles or triple, the price goes up exponentially to solve that.
The chief's going to have to just come out in his pajamas and take that call outside of his house sometimes.
Right.
I know your neighbors aren't going to like it, but that's just the way it is.
You don't have neighbors.
Yeah, you don't have neighbors.
So the other thing, without going too deep into it, because I don't think it's good public knowledge to have the public know this, but there's communication gaps inter-organizationally, or not, how do I say that, between different LEOs. And the sooner that this gets done, some of those communication gaps disappear. And that's safety for all of our LEs out there. So I personally think we have the information in front of us to make a decision on a base system, but I also recognize that there's apprehension from at least two members of our board that are still sitting here, and we're down to five people at this point. So I recognize where we're at. So I mean, if that's where it needs to be, then I understand that. But
I guess another point of information as you talk about that, we're working with the other LEOs. Line item one is new mobile radios. It's not up for me to say the sheriff needs them, but the sheriff needs them as soon as the PD switches. Because when the PD switches to their new system, the radios that the sheriff has in their cars now will not talk to the PD. So a portion of this is kind of required by the move that the PD is making.
But they will be able to patch through dispatch.
They can patch through dispatch.
Yep. I mean, there's still contact.
Yes.
And I do. I mean, Chief, I don't have the tolerance for all the new gadgets all the times. But I mean, this is one of those where I even realize this is a safety concern. When we hear about these things, that's what this is about, is a safety concern for officers.
And there's a sense of urgency. That's what I would say about that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Motion by Hill, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on letting this go another 2 weeks, putting on the agenda and discussing it then? Seeing none, vote. 5 in favor, 4 in favor, with Lytle voting no. Hill, Tiemann, Dorn, Viers voting yes, Lytle voting no. Motion does not carry. Motion fails. I'm sorry, motion carries.
Sounds like a voice.
I'm sorry, I'm reading through here still. So we'll put that on the agenda in 2 weeks. We'll talk about that at committee meetings again also.
So before we even get to committee meetings, can we have some type of a direction for the law enforcement that's involved in this and our committee as a whole as to what specifically needs to be that we don't already have in front of us?
John, would you like anything changed, or are you wanting more a pause to think about it?
You know, as long as Roger's okay with this, I think we got what we need, and as long as nothing else comes forward in the 2 weeks, I think, you know what, sure, we're going to approve it, probably unanimously. Going to have my vote. Don't know about the rest of you, but... And you'll just have to step up your implementation schedule quicker to make up for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Basically, just a couple more weeks to digest it, make sure you've got every information you need. And
that's what I wondered, if there's any actual other information, but that'll give two more weeks
more
to think about
it. To you. Yeah.
I guess we will see you in 2 weeks again.
It just snuck in before my vacation.
If you have to push that back. Probably not happening, I get it.
I'm coming here and then I'm leaving.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
all.
Doug. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yes, I heard the same.
I know.
Nothing? Mr. Hill, nothing? We are adjourned at 12:10 on the clock.